Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to VOS special broadcast. Basketball Africa League. Game 3 right now. I'm Jackson Vunganyi.
Action Jackson.
Action Jackson, as Sonny says. The mighty Sonny Young joins me here in studio.
Great to be back. I mean, it's always fun. And early season Nile Conference action. Heating up, Jackson.
Heating up so far. I mean, I was watching the game between Slack and the Cape Town Oilers.
The Tigers.
Put a tiger from South Africa, Cape Town. And now, you know, in the beginning, it seemed like Slack was going to pull it off, but Cape Town came away with the win. But we're here for a big match. Sonny, what match are we talking about today?
Coming up, I think it's one of your favorite teams, Jackson. The City Oilers from Uganda. We've already heard from their team manager, Grace Maguli Kwizera, and I know he's excited about this contest, but it's going to be a tough game, Jackson. They got to go up against the 2022 BAL finalist, Petro de Luanda, with a lot of experience. So I think Petro might be the favorite, but I really am looking forward to seeing City Oilers on
Petro
the court.
Petro de Luanda brings experience to this game because they've been here before. This is not their first rodeo in the Basketball Africa League. They've been here before. And many times that is the difference, except, you know, yesterday when we watched that, Al-Hali came away with the win, even though they were making their debut. City Oilers from Uganda making its debut in Cairo. Nile Conference people, tune in. I'm Jackson Vunganyi with the mighty Sonny Young. We have many people that will be popping in. We have some interviews with officials and analysts. We also have some voices from Kampala, Uganda, supporters and fans of the City Oilers of Uganda telling us what they expect, the expectation of this game. I'm quite sure Ugandans are watching in anticipation because, you know, their team is making their debut. Basketball is quite huge in Uganda these days. And we might be joined by one of the former players of the City Oilers. My friend Philip Luizi might be joining us later on in the show. Sonny.
Well, speaking of debuts, Jackson, Zaire Wade made his debut for the Cape Town Tigers. And I know one guy who was closely watching Zaire's performance was the magical Mukbil Yabaro of Mukbil and Sonny podcast.
You know, Mukbil, the last when you came to talk to me earlier in the game, you were telling me that the Cape Town Tigers were struggling a little bit. And, you know, I walked away and, you know, I had so much to do, so I didn't watch the end of the game. But then, you know, Cape Town, what happened? What was the difference maker for Cape Town?
You know what they say, Jackson. You know, the game is the last two quarters, man. At the beginning, we had Eslak really running away with it, but it was only the second quarter. They had about a 10-point lead in the first quarter. And then slowly but surely, they were able to just continually keep cutting at that lead. As we mentioned, Zaire Wade, the young man that has gotten everybody so excited, he finished with 9 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists. That, to me, is a really, really good start.
Solid.
For a young man.
It's a solid start.
Very solid. It shows that not only was he trying to get his own shots off, but he was also facilitating and he was, you know, getting rebounds as well for the team. So he is a very valuable member for that team. He also played a little under 26 minutes as well. So watch and look to see him continue to get more and more involved and evolve.
Right.
You know, I mean, I didn't see him play, but do you view him as a playmaker rather than a scorer? Mukbil?
To me, I mean, I've seen him play from high school to his G League time as well, and now with Cape Town, he is a pass-first type of guard, not as similar to as his dad, who was one of the most aggressive shooting
Absolutely.
Guards of all time, you
yes.
know? So But the thing is, he has the ability to score as well. You know, he's a lefty. You know, sometimes those lefties can just get these, very sneaky. You know, you're not growing up, we've been taught how to guard all these, you know, right-handed players. But lefties, anytime you play a lefty, you just don't even know what to do. You're on an island.
They change it up for you.
Yeah. So I'm excited to see what this young man does for the rest of this team. It's amazing that the Cape Town Tigers, for them, to have gotten that first win is so crucial, as we know what happened in the conference last. Five teams with the exact same record.
In case you're just joining us, this is a VOA's special coverage of the Basketball Africa League action taking place in Cairo, the Nile Conference. Guys, you just came off of a podcast.
Yeah.
No, nothing but net.
That's actually worth talking about. Action, Jackson. We had as our special guest, Liz Mills.
As we call her, Money Mills.
Money Mills. The head coach of Abidjan Basketball Club. They've already qualified for the BAL playoffs. And, she had some nice insights about, including the City Oilers.
Right. I think Coach Mills, you know, she's such a great coach because she does the film and does the research on the opposing teams. This is important. You know, coaching is not only how it is that you can bring your troops to the to the court and make sure that they win, but who is your opposition? Yeah. Are you studying film on them? Do you know what, you know, where you can get in, how you can beat them? She knows all the teams in the Nile Conference.
Absolutely.
In and out.
Yeah, which,
and it's amazing
and
to see.
You can see that when her team is struggling, how she's able to adapt and
yes.
turn around. This, I mean, amazing,
yeah.
amazing coaching.
One of the questions we asked her, Action Jackson, was about the BAL Elevate program and kind of the synchronicity between the older players on her team and the younger players. I mean, how do they treat them? And I was very impressed. It sounds like there's a lot of experience on that ABC Fighters team. Mark,
yeah, she mentioned Stefan Kanate. She said he had 28 years of experience.
She did correct that. She did.
I'm poking fun at it because I would be the exact same way with numbers. I just put it together and I was like, oh, 28? You got it. 28.
I have 28 years of experience.
Doesn't look it. Doesn't look it, man.
Thank you, sir. Listen, guys. Action coming up right here on the Voice of America. We always bring it. Sonny.
I want to go back to yesterday, Jackson. What did you think of Nooney? I think
Nooney.
He could be one of the breakout stars.
Absolutely.
In this
Nile MVP.
Conference.
Most likely MVP. Brought the first dunk,
first
highlight
dunk.
Reel.
First dunk of the Nile Conference.
The young man is only at the leader of the entire BAL with points at the moment.
Absolutely.
At the top, 21
Listen,
points
when you
per
watch,
game.
We were watching the game yesterday.
Yeah.
He was, I think he had more points than a combined both his team and the opposing team.
Yeah. Especially in the first half. Yeah. I think he scored most of his points in the first half. But he was impressive. He came to the BAL from the G League, the NBA G League. And I think for some of these players, they get the exposure from the BAL. I could see another G League team offering him a contract, or maybe
NBA.
Or even an NBA team, perhaps.
No, 7 foot two? 7 feet two?
No, right? he's not quite 7'2". Yeah. I think he's about 6'9".
7 foot two. Oh, that was a different
one. That was the Egyptian.
The Egyptian guy.
But 6'9", 6'10", easily probably with a 7 foot wingspan.
Yeah.
So, you know, just put him out there.
And
you
he's got
athletic.
I did see a lot of Luol Deng in him in terms of his slashing ability to the basket.
Yeah.
His footwork. He's a player to watch for sure in this Nile Conference.
Listen, Petro de Luanda from Angola, powerhouse, basketball powerhouse on the continent, will be taking on Uganda, making its debut in the Basketball Africa League. The Nile Conference plays. The winners here will go to Kigali. That's where they will meet the Sahara Conference winners. We have some reaction from Ugandans about the prospects of their team, you know, what they expect from their team. Let's hit it, Nikki.
The Basketball Africa.
I'm William. I'm a basketball player from Kenya playing for Livingstone BC in Uganda.
All right.
As for me, I think City will have a great chance to represent as well, because them being the number one team and them having a new squad right now which consists of several foreign players who are really representing them well, I believe City will do something so massive for us and will be happy as the basketball fraternity in Uganda. They're a complete team, that's all I have to say. They have whatever it needs, they have everyone ready, they have point guards, they have shooting guards, their big men are good. Everything in CTL is good, we just hope for the best for them. Yeah, we expect a lot from them.
Yeah, my name is Simon Nyakojo, and I'm a huge fan of basketball, and I'm so grateful that right now City Oil has got an opportunity to represent us. And at that stage, I think they are going to put a good fight. They are well organized. They are prepared. They have done their homework, basically. And I believe they are going to put a good fight and try to bring results back here. And it will help us, you know, it will encourage other teams to also try and fight and reach that level. And I think these City Oilers will see some new talent get on board. It will be an opportunity for some of the players to showcase what they can do on international level. So as a fan, I can't really wait to see what they have to show us.
My name is Moses Ngorok. I'm rooting for Jimmy Anabu. He's a friend of mine. I'm hoping the City Oilers go all the way and win it. I hope they're going to win the games. They are focused. I know Jimmy to be a focused person. And I know it's been his dream to do it on the international stage.
My name is Eva Skangume Ritai. I'm actually now in Kampala, and I wish the City Oilers the best in basketball. Thank you for representing us, and we actually wish you all the best.
City Oilers being like the champion for the past 8 years, yeah, I think we should expect a lot from them. They have proved to be a good team. Consistently winning a title for 8 years takes a lot of energy and a lot of commitment. So we wish them all the best, and we hope that they give us good results as they're going to be. When they're going to be playing there, they're going to be playing as Uganda, not City Oilers. Yeah. So they are representing the Pearl of Africa, and we wish them all the best.
Even though Egypt is the best, has been the best lately, then you can never predict anything. So hopefully, if City Oilers has been the best in Uganda also, they have a higher chance of presenting us well. Yes.
I think City Oil will put up a good fight, because when you look at their recruitments and their big men, they are well off. They can play. They will put up a good fight. As a player, I can also do it, but it requires more, a lot of hard work and facilities and a lot of time. So I can also do something like that. And as for now, my career is maybe I also wish to play for ball, in ball rather. So I'll have to put in a lot of work, do a lot of time, so I can make it that stage. As a player, when I see people that I'm playing against and they're playing such maybe big leagues, that means I can match up the energy with those guys. Because when I play with them in Uganda, that means I'm able, I have the ability, I can play with them. So that means it's just a lack of connection maybe, or management or facilities, that I'm not at those guys' level. I am motivated to play, that's why I train every day, at least 6 hours every day.
I just wish them good luck. Yeah. It's all less. Yeah, I just wish them good luck.
The Basketball Africa League is a partnership between the International Basketball Federation, FIBA, and the National Basketball Association, the NBA, in what's being described as one of the most stunning first-round playoff upsets in NBA history. The Miami Heat eliminated the top-seeded Milwaukee Bucks Wednesday night. Miami won the best-of-seven series 4-1. The Heat were once again led by the player nicknamed Jimmy Buckets. Jimmy Buckets. I'm talking about Jimmy Butler, who once again made some big buckets for Miami.
The AP's Chuck Freeman reports from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
The last two wins in the series, the Heat have had to rally from double-digit fourth-quarter deficits. They eliminated the top-seeded Bucks in overtime, 128-126. The Heat won the series in five games behind Jimmy Butler, who was amazing in the series. His tip-in in the closing seconds sent the game to overtime.
I've been shooting the ball an incredible amount this series, but I feel like they're all shots that I know that I can make. And my teammates keep telling me to shoot the ball more.
Butler followed up a 56-point performance in Game 4 with 42 as the Heat rallied from a 16-point fourth-quarter deficit to win. Chuck Freeman, Milwaukee.
Thanks, Chuck. The New York Knicks also advanced to the second round of the NBA playoffs by eliminating the Cleveland Cavaliers, and the Memphis Grizzlies staved off elimination with a victory over the Los Angeles Lakers. The AP's Dave Ferry reports.
The Knicks earned a 106-95 win over the Cavaliers for their first playoff series victory in 10 years. Jalen Brunson scored 23 points, and R.J. Barrett had 21 for New York, which captured the last three games of the five-game set. Brunson averaged 24 points in the series, leading the Knicks in scoring for all four wins.
No matter what's going on out there, we all look at each other, the five are out there, and we know that, you know, we got a job to do. We got to stick together and stay mentally tough through anything.
Mitchell Robinson added 18 boards for the Knicks. Donovan Mitchell led all scorers with 28 points, and Darius Garland had 21 for the Cavaliers. The Grizzlies stayed alive as three of their players had double-doubles in a 116-99 decision over the Lakers. Desmond Bane delivered 33 points and 10 rebounds. John Morant had 31 points and 10 boards. And Jaren Jackson Jr. added 18 points and 10 rebounds. Morant says the board battle was big.
Definitely something we needed, you know, to get a win. And something, you know, coach challenged us to do was, you know, for us to rebound. So that's good.
Memphis led by just two with 4.5 minutes left in the third quarter before embarking on a 26-2 run. Anthony Davis paced the Lakers with 31 points and 19 rebounds. Game 6 is Friday in Los Angeles. I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. In a playoff matchup between two more California-based teams, the defending NBA champion Golden State Warriors scored a 123-116 road victory over the Sacramento Kings. Golden State now leads the first round series 3-2. Star guard Steph Curry led the Warriors in Game 5 with a game-high 31 points.
In any series, winning on the road is a big deal. It's hard to do, and then you add on the layer of how we've been on the road throughout the course of the regular season, so it was a big, big night for us.
Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors will now host Game 6 on Friday night in San Francisco, California. It's must-win for Sacramento. Kings coach Mike Brown, the NBA's coach of the year, says his team will be ready.
You know, we've been great when our backs have been against the wall all season, you know, and so I don't see it being any different. We'll be ready for Game 6. Our guys know what's at stake, and we're looking forward to the challenge.
Looking forward to the challenge. That's Sacramento Kings coach Mike Brown, the NBA's coach of the year.
Sporty greetings. This is Masai Ujiri, the president of Toronto Raptors Basketball, president of Giants of Africa Foundation. You are listening to the Voice of America.
I'm VOA Sonny Young with Action Jackson Vunganyi and Mukbil Yabaro. Mukbil, Kings Warriors Game 6 in San Francisco. Mike Brown and the Kings have their work cut out for them.
Man, having been up 2-0 against the defending champions, you had them on the ropes. But that championship pedigree showed us.
Unbelievable.
Steph Curry and the boys were ready to go, and they have won 3 consecutive games with the potential to close out in the Oracle. Man.
Brand new arena, basically.
Man, it's going to be tough, man. Like, the difficult thing is, like, playing the Warriors anywhere during the playoffs is tough, but playing them
at home
on a closeout when they have momentum, like, if the Kings are able to come out from this,
wow.
I will say, you know what I'm saying? Hats off, Coach Mike Brown. Coach of the year. He's definitely turned this franchise around. he had the luxury of being assistant coach with the Warriors for years. So, you know, picking up, you know, what that culture has been like over there. But Coach Steve Kerr said, we've changed all our plays since you left.
How about the Heat? Maybe, it's definitely the biggest playoff upset in the past decade.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's one of the biggest ever in the first round.
You know, you have the Milwaukee Bucks with the best record in the NBA going up against the Miami Heat, who have really looked like, you know, not really like that great of a team. And they had to play in the play-in game, right? And this is the first team to actually win a playoff series since the play-in was introduced.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Which is, you know, I really like the play-in concept that they've just added last couple seasons. But to see what Jimmy Butler does when he gets into the playoffs, it's amazing. Like, I don't think anybody really says Jimmy Butler is a top 10 player in the league during the regular season, but during the playoffs, he absolutely is probably top five.
Wow.
From just a production standpoint and what he does for that team, right? It's like some games you might need 50. He put up 56. Another game you might need like 10 plus assists from him. He'll give you whatever. You know, the young kids are now calling him Jimmy Buckets or
Playoff Butler,
you know.
Jimmy Buckets. I said Playoff Butler.
Oh, Playoff Butler. Some of them are calling him Himmy Butler because they said, I am him, you know.
Yeah. And in terms of scoring, to put together back-to-back games of 56 and 42 in a critical NBA playoff series, that is almost Jordan-esque.
Man. Speaking of Jordan, by the way, just see how they look alike. He looks like
they do look alike.
You know, could be second of kin. You know, he might be a cousin, but definitely had his time in Chicago too. You know, so I could definitely see that. But it will be exciting to see Jimmy playing at this level. But I'm excited to see also what that does to the rest of his team, because if it's only him playing like this, it's going to be very quick for them in the next round. So
let's swing it back over to Action Jackson. Coming up in about 8 minutes or so, we have the 2022 BAL finalist Petro de Luanda. They were runners up last year to U.S. Monastir, going up against the City Oilers from Uganda. What should we look for from the City Oilers?
We should look for how, Chris Quizera, the Chris Quizera Muguri, the head of the team, the manager of the team, said that we should look at his guards.
His guards.
So maybe they will be the difference makers. But, man, I feel bad for the City Oilers going, you know, starting your debut, making your debut against such a team like Petro de Luanda. These are very strong guys.
But you know, Jackson, but the interesting thing about it is sometimes you might want to test yourself with the elites right
the
off the
guys,
gate, right?
Yeah.
So get that game out of the way, and then you might have a couple easy games because you're like, if we make these changes and we switch up, we'll be able to get the rest of these guys, because Petro, from what we know from past experience, is one of these stronger teams. Al Ahly definitely showed us that they're not here to play either, and they have the fan presence, right? The fans are screaming in Cairo.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And speaking of guard play, we got to watch Carlos Moraes from Petro, one of the most accomplished players in the history of Angolan basketball. I'm reading this BAL note sheet. Carlos is an 8-time Angolan league champion, 3-time Angolan Cup winner. He has represented Angola in 3 FIBA Basketball World Cups, 2006, 2010, and 2019. And he's also played at the Olympics in 2008. So he has so much international experience, and he's a shooter. He's a shooter.
Oh, the thing about Petro is Petro has shown us for 2 complete seasons that they have a ton of players that can shoot, can dribble, can pass, can play defense. You know, they have some of their players actually are veterans and have been playing. You know, I remember some of their players were like late 30s, you know, some of the older players in the league. But that chemistry has always been there for them. So it's amazing to see what it is that they can do. And they had a few young players as well last season.
Okay.
It'll be interesting to see how they get back in the mix. Goncalves and the likes.
Yeah. All these names, yeah. We've been hearing those names for a decade. Easily a decade.
Right. So it's going to be exciting to see. I think Petro is a powerhouse and has been. Angola has been a powerhouse on the continent for years. Let's see if they're able to bring a championship to the sub-Saharan side, maybe.
I know. They probably would consider it a disappointment if they don't get back to the final, Muckbill.
I would have to agree because, you know, where do you go from there? Season one, you know, you make it to the playoffs. You get knocked out, I believe, quarters, maybe even semis. You make it to all the way to the finals in the second season. There's only one more place to go, Sonny. That means they got to get it done. And I think they have the team to get it done. Today will be a very interesting introduction. As we've said, they haven't seen the City Oilers team either, so they don't really know what they possess. It will be interesting to see, you know, first quarter, second quarter, you just feel each other out. Third quarter, if the game gets too far, we'll be in here talking to them about it.
Yeah, they'll realize they're playing against the big boys now. Muckbill Yabarough, I'm Sonny Young, Action Jackson Vunganyi. And let's give a shout-out for our technical team this evening, Nikki Nicole Peters, our producer, and Nick Ivanoff, our engineer here in the glittering Studio 3, Muckbill.
I like that. I can see the glitter.
Well, what about the Oilers? Are you looking forward to seeing them, Muckbill?
Yeah, I'm always excited to see brand new debutant teams when they get an opportunity to showcase their skills, especially up against one of the elite veteran teams in Petro. So this will be a great test for them. And as we were talking about earlier, we'll see where they stack up against the big guys. And if for whatever reason they're able to get off this upset, because I don't really think a lot of people outside of maybe the coaching staff and the players really expect them to come and make a splash on the Petro side. But if they do, they will make sure that the BAL is on notice. That'll be a very, very exciting game. And I don't put it past them because, as we've seen in the Sahara Conference, the Stade Malien side, the young men from Bamako were able to top the league, even though they were debutant teams as well. So be interesting to see what City Oilers do for us.
Well, Muckbill, speaking of Bamako, we were chatting earlier with our friend, the big man from Bamako, Sheck Tierro, our VOA colleague. Sheck broadcasting the BAL in French for the Voice of America, as well as Bambara. So Sheck has been busy. One of his favorite players for Petro, we know who he is, Muckbill. Majak, the magic man.
Man, the magic man. Listen, Majak is such a integral part in any defense. He was playing with U.S. Monastir on that championship team. He's played with that U.S. Monastir team, and he was, I think, myself personally, I feel like him not being there this season really showcased, you know, he has some amazing defensive tenacity when he comes out. He's very aggressive, and he has that corner three-point shot, and that's his bread and butter. So we will be very, very interested to see how he meshes with this Petro side that I've already been playing together for years. But I think he's a glue guy. He's the type of player you just put in there and just tell him, Magic, go get it. Go get it. And I think he will definitely get it done. So interested to see him play this.
Yeah, and he's already won two big trophies. He was a member of the Monastir championship team from 2022, and Majak also the Dikembe Mutombo defensive player of the year.
So
wag that finger, the Mutombo finger.
Right.
And one other note about Majak, he's competing in his third, so he's played in all three BAL seasons, plenty of experience, and I think a great addition for Petro.
Yeah, no, I think Petro, maybe they felt as though The reason why they couldn't get over that hump was because of somebody like a Magic, you know? And that was the team that took them out. So if they seen that he was available and on the market, and they said, let's go ahead and see what Magic can do. Can he put us over the top? It'll be exciting to see if that was the missing piece for the Petro de Luanda side.
Mukbil Yabaro, I'm Sonny Young. Action Jackson Vunganyi will be coming up with you at halftime, postgame, as well as breaks in the contest. Coming up, Petro de Luanda versus City Oilers. Game 2 on Thursday in Cairo. It's coming up.
Conference in the shadows of the Egyptian pyramids, on the banks of the Nile River, and our second encounter of the day. We have debutants and seasoned veterans up against each other tonight. Last year's runners-up and semi-finalists the year before, Petro de Luanda of Angola, itching to go one step further up the ladder. Will they take on the City Oilers of Uganda, who've been itching to qualify for the BAL over the past three qualifying campaigns? They're both here now, and they're both ready to embark on their journey. I'm thrilled to have Usha Komagisha next to me for this one. A very, very unique night for you and for the City Oilers, and of course for Petro.
Absolutely. The City Oilers have been waiting for this moment for 3 years, and finally tonight they make their debut here at the Nile Conference. And really for you, Robbie, to know that the River Nile starts in Uganda.
And there you go. And these are the fixtures we've seen. 68-75, Slack leading for 24 minutes, but the comeback, Kings of South Africa, Cape Town Tigers, rally back to take first blood. 75-68, they take the win. Petro de Luanda, City Oilers tonight, and then on Saturday, Beira against Petro de Luanda. The City Oilers are back in action against the hosts, Al Ahly. Let's take a look at Petro de Luanda. Well, let's take a look at the starting five for the Giants. Petro de Luanda, coached by Jose Neto.
Yes, looking at the starting five, Shilde Jundao, Carlos Moraes, Lukeni Gonçalves, and Abu Gaku, as well as John Pedro. Four of those five players have played in every season of the BAL with Angolan champions, and that experience is supposed to come alive tonight here in Cairo.
The stage has been set. The players are coming out on court. We are gearing up for action. Let's take a look now at their opposition, the City Oilers of Uganda. Let's now take a look at the starting five for the City Oilers. Of course, just founded just over 12 years ago now, Usha.
Yes, absolutely. Looking at the starters, James Justice Jr., Philando Jones, Titus Odeke, Jermaine Robert back, who was very crucial for them in the qualification to the BAL. And that man, Ngor Barnaba, who is supposed to bring experience in that paint, will be very key for the Ugandan champions, who will be up against a very experienced side in Petro de Luanda. Roby, a lot to look forward to.
So much to look forward to. Some key players who are going to be battling it out here tonight as well. And I think it's important that we initially just throw across to Q and say hi to Q. Q, are you ready for this one?
I'm absolutely ready for this one. I don't think we can be too ready because two great clubs about to clash. Looking forward to the debut of the City Oilers in the competition against the wonderful losing champions the losing finalists from last year, Petro de Luanda.
Little focus, thanks very much, Q, on Chile Dundao. Joined in 2016, a national triple victory with Petro de Luanda, a playmaker, an extraordinary player. He's got the Cobra hands. Very quick, sneaky, turnover master. And then on City Oilers' side, of course, please, Usher, over to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking at that man who's been incredibly given the honour of starting on the team that will represent Uganda, the City Oilers. Just making sure that he gets into this one, Segun Obe. And obviously, just making sure that... that goes well. That man, Jose Neto, this is his third year in Petro de Luanda. It's his last season. He's coming up against Manda Jeruni, an incredible winner with the City Oilers. They've won 8 league titles in a row in the last decade. It's been amazing for them, but let's see what they can do on the continent.
Silverware every season, oh yes. And Philando Jones is the player to watch for the City Oilers, who fits in amongst all of these wonderful Ugandan internationals. Some quality players here as we get ready for the tip-off. It is time to get down to action, ladies and gentlemen. Here we go. And the ball being taken there. And there's your first score. Oh, just look at that. Beautifully done. An excellent play from Justin Gonsalves to make sure the tip-in was good.
Yeah, absolutely. Gonsalves, one of the experienced players on the floor right now. He's grown in leaps and bounds over the last couple of years, both at club and national team level.
Dispossessed, a stolen ball, and it's been picked up once again down into the corner. You can see that they're extremely dangerous. Justin Gonsalves, Dundao picks up the ball on the outside. And good work with Carlos Moraes, who's very, very dangerous from outside of the arc. Big shot coming in, but not a big score. Made safe by Philando Jones. Jones takes the ball up court. And a very fast and frantic start to this one. Usher?
Yeah, it is expected to be a thrilling fixture here. And we're seeing an early change on the court with Bale Fayed, the new face of Ugandan basketball, whose career has grown in the last couple of years, and he has an early start here.
City Oilers and Fayed Bale getting the ball out. Jones, he's teasing, he's trying to find his space. Gonsalves is trying to defend, and no one there for the offensive rebound. And they pick the ball up. Quick, fast passes. Pedro has it. Nice little turn. Quick turn. And how about that? That is magic from Johnny Pedro.
It's a big bucket there from Juan Pedro, who's known for his defensive abilities on the floor. But tonight, opening up to make it 4 points for the Angolan champions.
And Dundao actually commits the foul, so it's picked up by Jones. Jones gets it moving. Bale's in possession here. So an interesting battle between him and Dundao that will take place tonight. Of course, very fast, furious playmakers, and they'll be trying to wriggle their way away from the danger as often as possible as Gonsalves misses the long-range shot. Moraes, and is Jones committed the defensive foul? I saw him just shift his body into the path of that man, Carlos Moraes. Yep, there's definitely a little bit of contact there, and there's definitely a movement from that man, Jones.
Yeah, talking about Jones, you're just seeing the replay there from Juan Pedro and how he was able to get that basket in there in the paint.
Jason Gonsalves trying to make the pass to Abu Gakou. Good strong defensive play there from the Oilers, Asha.
Yeah, they'll need that going forward in this game, obviously. It's a big stage for them. It's the first time they're playing at this level at the BAL. But they'll have to stay calm.
Yeah, but they've gone through qualifying every year and, you know, just missing out on each and every occasion, but going very far into the qualifying campaign. Jones goes up, but he can't sink it. Good defensive play from Gakou. We'll expect a lot from him underneath the ring. Dundau goes for the three-pointer down in the corner. Gonsalves picks it up. Pedro waits, goes around and under and up. That's beautifully done. Sensational play. And Odeke can't get anywhere near him.
Yeah, great eyes under the basket there from Juan Pedro. Is going to be a big problem for the City Oilers.
Oh, my word. Get out of there, Pedro. Defensively swatting away that ball. The block was a beautiful one.
Yeah, it is a great defensive cover there from Juan Pedro. He's been very active on both sides of the court for Petro de Luanda.
Yeah, let's get the an update, of course, with James Justice Jr. Over to you, Q.
James Justice Jr. seems to have injured a finger. At this stage, it looks like a little bit of, well, speculating could be a little bit of injury on his pinky. He is strapping it, and he will be good to go on from his, what we can see.
On his pinky.
There you go, Q. Love it.
It's clear. Like it is.
Well, I'm sure that he'll be okay. He's getting the treatment, as we can see. Thanks for the update there, Q.
Gakou in the paint. This is going to be a big battle. He gets one over his opposite number, Barnaba, the big guy who's going to be trying to keep him out of there. But Gakou is so dangerous there in the paint.
We saw what Gakou was able to deliver last season. He's starting from where he stopped.
This is it! Oh, nearly crashing in there. Gakou taking the pass from Dundau. And it just doesn't sink. It doesn't go down. Robic Jr. out to Jones. Jones back to Robic Jr. Robic Jr. goes for the three-pointer. Comes back out. Doesn't go down.
The City Oilers are really struggling there on the offensive rebounds, giving Petro de Luanda a chance to get back into the game.
God, Gakou is just on fire. That's another attempt, this time beautifully executed there. And 6 minutes, 10 on the clock, and a 10-point lead. Petro, look at that man, Gakou, on fire. We're going to take a break.
Voice of America special coverage of the Basketball Africa League Nile Conference. I'm Jackson Bunganyi, together with
Sonny Young and a special guest.
A special guest, Philip. Philip played for the City Oilers. He's joining us here in studio. Philip, the Oilers are struggling in the beginning. It's right 8-0 right now. They're playing against Petro de Luanda, which is a very, you know, experienced team, but still a little bit of struggling here, right?
Yeah. The City Oilers also have great experience as well, but Luanda's experience goes for so many years, but we shall get back into the game. We're not worried.
It's 10-0 right now. Let's get back to Cairo. Yeah.
Opening quarter, Petro de Luanda. They've got a 10-point lead over the City Oilers. City Oilers maybe a little bit destabilized by the fact that James Justice Jr. picked up that little finger pinky injury, as Q described it. But he seems to be okay, and he's back on court. Q, they were destabilized, I got the impression.
They were a little destabilized. You'll see the left hand of Justice Jr. strapped, and he's good to go. And just out of the timeout, Coach Manny Gironi wants more physicality from his team on the defensive end and wants them to move the ball, three-pointer force, on the outside.
And they move it in a big way because that's the perfect way. Destabilized, but not anymore. Stability is back. Usher, 10-3, and the Oilers get their first points in the BAL.
Yeah, we talked about Jones coming in there and giving them good offensive cover. He's coming at the right time, 10-3, just giving them a breather. And now they know that once they play good defense, they can catch up. It's just a seven-point game, and we're halfway through this first quarter.
Oh, come on. It's only a seven-point game. Justin Gonsalves just losing possession, couldn't get his hands on the ball. Has been picked up there by that man, Odeke. Shot clock down to seven. Justice Jr. goes for a long-range three-pointer. It just doesn't fall. Crashing against the orange metal, Dundao. We know how dangerous he is. And we look at this man, Geku, just sits back and then throws down a big three-pointer. He could have done it in his living room, sat on the settee.
Absolutely. Geku had lots of space there. He squared up and just dropped that three-pointer to maintain that 10-point lead. That's how dangerous this Petro de Luanda side is looking right now so far.
Yeah, and look, and all of a sudden you get someone who's just going to come on and, you know, make his entrance. Oh, it's only Artem Mazhok, you know, winner of the BAL with US Monastir, of course. I mean, you know, this team, they've got a bench, but they've also got a very smart tactician in Jose Neto, who's worked with this team for the past few seasons. He knows exactly what he's doing, and they're ready. Talking to him just ahead of, you know, the start of this tip-off, ready. Big bucket there coming in by Nur Barnaba.
Absolutely. Great bucket there from Barnaba to maintain some confidence for the Ugandan champions. Now they're starting to settle in into the game.
Very important. Petro Luanda, no mean feat, trying to take on the team that finished runners-up to US Monastir last season. And there's a long-range three coming in. Good snatch there from underneath the ring, underneath the basket there from Jones. Makes it safe. Justice Jr. around the outside, inside, drops it off. Oh, the attempt to try and get it up and in doesn't happen because there's a foul. James Okello is the player who gets contact.
Yeah, absolutely. Talking about James Okello, captain of the City Oilers. He's been with the team for more than 10 years. He's one of the veteran players for the City Oilers. Came to Crane High School, which had a good basketball program coached by Justus Mugisha, who is actually the reason why the City Oilers were formed. This is a team that was formed by people
story.
Who were playing, you know, pick-up basketball.
Well,
here they are.
I think they were at the gym at the start, wasn't it? And then they said, oh, let's play some basketball. And then
yes.
It just developed. It grew. And then they said, oh, yeah, well, why don't we turn into a team?
Yes.
And then we get a sponsor. And then we play in the BAL.
And
yeah,
they are
on.
At the BAL, Robbie. Such
love
a beautiful
it.
Start.
It is incredible. And all of that in the space of, what, 12 years, I think?
Yes. For a team that was created in 2011. They started in the Division 3, reached the final, were promoted to the Division 2, won the title. And at that time, Manda Giruni, the coach right now, was a player.
There you go. He's a player. He's a player coach, wasn't he?
He was a player coach. And from 2013, just really coaching them in the incredible Division 1, which has now been renamed as the National Basketball League.
Dundao, we know that he's a sneaky, sneaky player. He'll sneak into places that other players fear to go. He's so quick, he's so slick, he's so smooth, and just look what he does. He'll dodge, he'll go underneath, he'll go behind players, and he'll draw the fouls, and I think that's what you've got to look at in this player, Dundao. An exceptional player, really, really top quality, and very much an important player within this Petro team.
Absolutely. Shilde Dundao guided Angola to the FIBA Africa Under-18 African Championship in 2016 in Rwanda, just making sure that he announced himself on the international scene. And In that same competition was Ivan Muhwezi for the City Oilers. He's still on the bench, yet to get an opportunity. But Dundao, he was told at a very early age that he'll never play basketball. He was too small. But look at him now.
You know, he's playing with the Giants, and he deserves to be amongst them. Damian Hollis gets his first run out. Of course, a former NBA player with the Pistons. And, well, a journeyman who's been around. Ball being stolen, taken up by Dundao. And out into the corner, an opportunity here, Moraes, and a chance for Diabate to come in, and there it is, tipped in by Madam. The former US Monastir combination working extremely well. And just remember, this is Madjok's first game, proper game, professional game with his new team, because he arrived late.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a man who is well-traveled across the world, plays for Lebanon at the international stage, but he's made his name known here at the BAL, winning last season and really being part of that old defensive team for US Monastir.
Yeah, but Madjok just, he led Lebanon to the Arab Basketball Championship title, gold medal, last December. Just underlining what he does, he's got a handful of passports, I believe. Australia, Lebanon, you know, and originally from South Sudan, of course. I think that's important to mention.
Yeah, absolutely.
All of our friends from South Sudan. We saw the Cobras here last season. They were incredible bunch of people who were battling valiantly. Hopefully we'll see them back very soon, of course, because they just produce incredible athletes from Sudan and South Sudan.
Absolutely. There's actually hundreds of South Sudanese in the stands out here to support Ater Madjok. And, of course, yesterday they must have enjoyed that Al Ahly victory with one of their other own, Nuni Omot.
Wonderful player. Played such an important first half for Al Ahly in their victory over Beira, opening game. Diabate, he's lasered in a big shot there. Fantastic three there, just from the edge of the arc.
Incredible there from the Ivorian Solo Diabate, who is chasing history. Could he be the first player to win three straight BAL titles?
I think the first player to win three BAL titles. I think he's the first to win two.
Yes,
so he's already
absolutely
got a record. I mean, you know, how many records does he get? I mean, he's a wonderful person as well. So, you know, it's totally deserved.
Absolutely.
Can you imagine? Well, there he is there, just on the screen. He's thinking three, 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 threes. Threes mean threes.
Threes for threes.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful score. And a big, big bucket coming from that man. Very important shot coming in as well.
Yes, Jimmy Anabu, an incredible player for the City Oilers. One of the veterans on the court. 10-35, 10 days ago.
Collins unable to sink his three-pointer at the other end. Good opportunity. Justice Jr. floater over the top. Beautifully done. And it just goes high, high away from the thickets, the outstretched arms, the octopus tentacles, whatever you like to call them. Hollins for a big shot as well. That's two missed three-pointers and a chance now for the Oilers to come back and just reduce that lead.
The Oilers are now looking comfortable.
That's a big long-range shot coming in from Justice Jr. And Eddie picks the ball back up. There it is. Nicely done, Inabu. He's just trying to work really hard. Shot clock down, and that's not fallen, made safe. Well, it's a shame that it didn't go down. That would have just made it a little bit tighter. Hot, great aggressive driving through there from Gonsalves. And at the other end, it's Jones! Jones, making his statement.
Jones just flying up in the air and getting that dunk in and making it a five-point game so far.
Now let's see what Madjok can do. He doesn't find a way. Hollins picks the ball up, goes himself, and there is contact, and there will be a foul. Foul committed there by Abdelhakim Gedi.
We're looking at the replay there. There was so much space on the baseline, and Gedi getting that foul. But just looking at that replay from Jones on the fast break with that dank, just to make sure the City Oilers maintain that confidence that they have in this game.
No, but that's good. That's they've shown that they're not going to be, you know, bullied by Petro de Luanda, who've got some big guys, of course, but they've also got some very seasoned veterans, as I mentioned, a really good mix of players who know what the score is, and previous winners from US Monastir. So that mix is a really good mix, but the Oilers, they're showing us that they've got grit, that they've got the fight, because they're here for a reason.
Yeah, absolutely. And talking about that man, Damien, on the free throw line, he makes that second one. He's played in Belgium, Hungary, Portugal, Italy, Greece, and joined the team in January. And he says he's feeling comfortable playing with Petro de Luanda.
That's good to hear. Geddy gets the ball out. Can't touch it, so he knew that he couldn't have got hold of that. Justice Junior, big shot. It's just come off the orange medal, back out, taken by Gonsalves. Drops in, and there's a chance. Bastos this time. Back out to Diabate. Calms things down, shot clock down to 6.5. It's the end of the first quarter. Needs to get a shot in. The shot comes in from Gonsalves. Rattles her in, doesn't go, and no more shots. We do bring the first quarter to an end. 21 points to 14. A real interesting tussle that's taken place here, but the City Oilers showing the Petro de Luanda that
coverage here on the Voice of America. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. I'm in studio with the mighty Sonny Young. We have a special guest, Philip Luizzi. Is that how you say your last name? Luizzi. So, you know, the City Oilers are finally finding their rhythm and confidence after that little slow start. It's now 21-14, 14 for the Uganda City Oilers, playing against a seasoned, experienced team, Petro de Luanda. What is making the difference for the Oilers, Philip?
The Oilers just needed to get into the game. They were a bit nervous at the start, but once they got that first three in, then the nerves got out of the way. Now they're open, they're moving, they're running, they're looking a bit fluid. So, yeah, it looks like we're going to have a very good game ahead of us.
Yeah, I'm impressed by their comeback, Philip. I mean, they were down, maybe a little shell-shocked, but they have found their rhythm. And they're back in it. They were down, I think, 10-0 at one point.
Right. But, shell-shocked.
Exactly, yeah.
But, yeah, they're making their debut, and I think they're finding their feet, so to speak.
Right.
Yeah.
It happens, being shell-shocked in such a big platform as the Basketball Africa League, making your debut playing against a strong, powerful team like Petro de Luanda. Yes, you will be shell-shocked. But, yeah. It's quite encouraging. Things are looking up and up. Their players are doing much better. But right here, in case you're just joining us, this is our Voice of America's special coverage of the Basketball Africa League, the end of the first quarter in Cairo, the Nile Conference. My name is Jackson Vunganyi, and the mighty Sonny Young came off of a podcast to join us today. Nothing But Net podcast is up on VOA News, voaafrica.com, actually. That's
voaafrica.com.
voaafrica.com, so you can check it out. In the meantime, let's get back to Cairo.
He's working in the same way as you, Asher, when you're on the side of the court, but I'm sure that he's done something right over there.
I can't sneak into the spaces that Asher does, but it really is interesting because Coach Manny Giruni really emphasizing again the ball movement that you saw out of the first time out and the physicality back on defense. He believes he's got to keep playing the same way, and they'll see themselves back in the game. You've seen him rotate around having James Justice Jr. back on the court, and it's made a big difference.
Yeah, he's pivotal with the distribution, the acceleration, the pace of the game. Since obviously he came on because he started and then went off literally within the first minute. So it's good to actually understand, you know, how the City Oilers work around their starting five proper, and he really is key to how they want to play out there today. You can see that Majok is already making a nuisance of himself, but he can't get the score on that occasion. He's taken the pass, and roll doesn't happen on that occasion. Picks up here. Here's Justice Jr. Big shot there and a beautiful two. And look at that. 21-14 now.
It is a big bucket there from Justice. He's found his rhythm in the game so far. And that's going to be very important for the City Oilers.
21-16, and that is a shot, and there is a foul. Bastos commits the foul. He'll go straight to the free throw line. And a five-point difference, and now the City Oilers in a very good position to just chop that lead down even more.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking at the replay there with Justice trying to come up against Bastos. There was a foul, and now he held to the line.
I think he was on the right side of the arc as well, so it's a good scenario this is, because he gets three.
It is a three-point play there as we look at the face of Manda Jeruni, just trying to make sure his team stays grounded, play good defense, make sure they use all the chances they have to change that score. And now we have a two-point game.
And that is absolutely fantastic. Here we go. Just take a look at this. That was it. Massive three, mid-range two there for that man, Justice Jr. Magioc. Any room to move? What can he do? Oh, he's leaning into his man. That's very complicated. Good pass. Wait patiently. And just how about that? That's how dangerous he is. It's not just about him, you know, playing a one-man show. No, he'll make sure that if he can't get through, then his teammate will get the pass. Gonsalves scoring that. Justice Jr., he's proving to be a real big handful, isn't he? Around the outside, tries to go past Hollins. That is nicely floated up. Diabate picks it up, and there's Gonsalves. Well, that's dropped back into the hands of Pedro Bastos. Hollins. Oh, look at that for a roll. Oh, he just couldn't get the proper boards manoeuvre. That is not a score either. It's a little bit of disappointment there for Roebuck Jr.
It is end-to-end thrilling action here on the court.
Good chance this is. And surely this is going to be a... Oh, beautifully dropped in. Half the score on that occasion. Jermaine Roebuck Jr., the American. And he makes it a two-point game once again.
Yeah, looking at Roebuck Jr. on that fast break. Easy layup for the City Oilers.
Gonsalves. Hollins out into the corner. Long range shot coming in from Pedro Bastos. Doesn't fall. Good three-point shooter. The 30-year-old, Justice Jr., again, teasing the defense. And he goes for the big three-pointer. Off the metal, back into the hands, and made safe there by Getty. The Rangers... a little bit off at the moment at both ends. Coach Nettow talking about the importance of defense and how we need to make sure that we get the rebounds in. You can see how important it is, Usher.
Yes, it is very important. I think the City Oilers will have to give themselves some credit for playing good defense there.
Going up and over the chop, but it just doesn't happen. Good attempt there from Okello. Hollins! Oh, nicely done. Damien Hollis waiting patiently. It's just that little hesitation, holding it, and then the flick of the fingers, getting the ball up, off the boards and in, drawing the foul. Sensational stuff.
It is a second trip for him to the free throw line. It was good decision making there, as we see Jimmy Enabu, the former captain of the City Oilers, heading to the bench as Segun Obe gets onto the court. BAL Elevate player.
Yeah, we've got a problem with Getty. Getty's got three fouls, which is not ideal with 6:22 left in the first half. It's not the ideal scenario. Q, just coming over to you. What's What's your feeling going into this? I mean, it's excellent to see City Oilers come back and finally find some stability, some rhythm.
Well, where they are capitalising fast break points, they've got 9 fast break points, and uncharacteristically, Petro haven't scored on the break, so they're pushing the ball up the floor before Petro can set their defence, and that is one area that they've really capitalised well on in this one.
Titus Odeke missing a shot, but oh my, good gracious me. That was sensational from Dundau. Big three-pointer from down in the corner.
And it is good game reading there from Dundau. He looked around, he had space, he took a chance on himself, and he delivered.
Justice Jr. takes the pass from Jones. Cuts inside, and a big shot, and the effort doesn't fall, the rebound doesn't happen either. And Dundau takes the ball. Look how fast he is. Exceptionally fast. And just drives into I didn't see who it was. I did now. It is Justice Jr. And it's going to be a pair of shots at the free throw line. Look at Dundau.
It's a beautiful three-pointer from Dundau. He brings that much quality to this side as we get to see Jose Neto on the sideline studying the game. And on the other side, Mande Jiruni, former point guard in Uganda before he, of course, took up the coaching cot for a couple of teams in the Ugandan league.
55 years of age. Pulling the cords to see if the Oilers can go far. Oh, look at that. Hollins does really well with a wonderful block, wonderful swat. Back into the hands of Diabate. Down into the corner. Salavis goes for the big bucket. My, oh, my. Beautiful, beautiful score there from Yasin Gonsalves.
It is beautiful to see Petro de Luanda find themselves. It's now a 13-point game thanks to those back-to-back three-pointers.
Jones with the layup finally gets it his way. He's done 7 points so far. He scored 40 against the Cape Town Tigers in last year, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Dundau goes up again. It's made safe by Odeke. Jones, Justice Julia makes himself available. Into the long-range shot, big three-pointer! Had to go, it did go! Titus with a titanium-made shot.
Titanium Titus Odeke. Joined the City Oilers this season from the UCU Cannons in Mukono.
Yeah, the main arch rivals of the City Oilers, of course, in the National Basketball League.
Yeah, absolutely. So many people back home in Uganda will be very proud to see him, but especially the coach that gave him a great platform, Nicolas Natuhereza.
Look at that shot there, fantastic. And Gonsalves has been outstanding, showing us what he's capable of doing. We're going to take a commercial break, 34-26 here in Cairo.
Basketball Africa League coverage right here on the Voice of America. My name is Jackson Vunganyi with the mighty Sonny
Young and Philip Luzi. How do you like our studio?
I'm loving it. I'm loving the experience.
Luzi's making his debut here in the studio of the glittering studio. What do you call it?
Glittering.
I might change a profession and come join you guys.
Philip used to play for the City Oilers of Uganda. City Oilers are also making their debut, as Philip is making his debut here in broadcasting. The Oilers, his former team, is also making his debut at the Basketball Africa League, the Nile Conference
second day, right? This is the second day of the Africa.
Yeah, second day. But Philip, what do you think of the Oilers so far?
The Oilers are struggling a bit. I can see they went down about 10 points, but they're going to come back into the game. A few threes are dropping. We can see the defense is improving. So, yeah, we should be back in the game. Yeah.
34-26 right now in favor of Petro de Luanda, the 2022 BAL finalist. And Jackson, I was impressed with the way the Oilers came back because they were down early. They got within two, and they're clearly within striking range right now.
They were struggling a little bit in the beginning. Starting to see some confidence build up. But let's go back to Cairo.
All of the wonderful history that this beautiful country of Egypt has to offer for anybody who turns up. Here it's all about basketball, and here is Justice Junior trying to make a statement, and that's a big one indeed. 3 points, very much needed. 34-29.
Absolutely, very timely there for the City Oilers. They need to stay in this game, and obviously Justice Junior, first player on the court and in this game to go into double figures with 10 points so far.
Nearly managed to steal the ball on that occasion. And Dundau goes up and it's made safe by Jones. Justice Junior races away, trying to find options. Into the paint he goes. That's really good hard work, and the foul's been committed by Abu Gaku. And they will go to the free throw line for a pair of shots and try and reduce the arrears from five to potentially three. We're going to go across to Q. It's a good time to pick his brains on what Coach Neto just had to say to his players.
Thank you very much, Robbie. Yeah, Coach Neto was actually talking about the pick and roll action that we saw just out of the timeout. Wanted them to focus on coverage on the three-point shot. Justice Jr. making that open shot and a lot of frustration. So you're going to see a lot of adjustment around them trying to force the City Oilers to put the ball on the floor a lot more to close out the second quarter.
Good offensive rebound and a chance for them to actually score. Jones has it. Shot clock down to seven. Need to make this happen. Johnny Pedro's in front of him. Got to get rid of him. He's got the speed. Has he got the gear? He does indeed. That's a big score as well from Jones. And with that score, he puts himself up to 9 points. But more importantly, it's a two-point game again.
Yeah, great finish there from Jones just off the glass to keep the City Oilers breathing in this fixture.
They're not breathing. They're actually resoundingly strong. And Justice Junior, surely not! Oh, wow! Big three-pointer. They move ahead for the very first time. 34, Petro Luanda. 35 for the Oilers. They're just getting ready to rock.
Absolutely, that's the sort of reaction you expect from a team that is very serious in this competition, especially coming from that timeout. Justice Junior, big problem for the Petro de Luanda side to deal with.
Yeah, he's got 13 points after that massive bucket that's bolstered their ability to barge themselves into this blockbuster. It really is turning into something quite interesting. And Coach Neto will say, well, he's got a few things to say around his players here, I'm pretty sure. And the great thing is that Q actually played in Mozambique, so he speaks Portuguese fluently, and he'll be picking up. You know, he's got the hourglass, he's just listening in, and he's picking up the bits of information. So we'll go to him in a second. And, this is fantastic. This is really good for the BAL, because a new team that comes to this competition will be able to throw a big fight against the big boys, and that's exactly what the Oilers are doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And talking about the City Oilers, they finished fifth at the FIBA Africa Champions Cup in 2017 in Tunisia. Some of those players are here at the BAL, including Jimmy Anabu, Tony Drileba, and that should really count for something. But yes, they've been at this level. It's their first time at the BAL, but on the continent, they've been knocking on that door, and finally they've announced their arrival.
Do you know who else has been at every single edition of the BAL? Q.
Well done, Q.
Thanks, Robbie. Yeah, out of the timeout, Coach Neto, just honestly focusing again around the coverage of the three-pointers. Wants them to talk a little bit more and is a little bit concerned about the freedom that they have on the perimeter. Big-time shot from Gaku, but
defense the focus, and we'll see if they're able to just make the adjustments that were asked for out of the timeout.
All about adjustments. Oh, this is Jones going for a big shot. He just doesn't get the right trajectory. Carlos Mize. Johnny Pedro, there's the chance for a big three. Oh, my word, Dundau. Well, we're talking about how important he is. That guy has just hit double figures. But a couple of massive three-pointers. And all of a sudden, they got a five-point lead, having trailed by one. Jones, whoa. Four comes out of his hands. Very fast defensive play. Moraes down into the corner. Dundau, surely not. This time, comes off the medal. Good play from Pedro. Wonderful play from him.
It is a big bucket from Carlos Moraes.
Carlos Moraes, sorry.
The face of Angolan basketball for over 15 years. He's at the tail end of his career. But that experience counts here at the BAL.
Jones cuts inside. Good opportunity. Oh, there's... it's going to be a foul, I think, going against Johnny Pedro. Let's just get a look at that.
The steal earlier from Carlos Moraes, who then attacked the paint, met that basket off the glass, and yep, he fouled. Looking at Segun Obe, BAL Elevate player, part of the City Oilers side, getting some advice from the bench, from Tony Drilaba, from Ivan Muhwezi, who are yet to step on the floor, but cheering on their teammate.
Yeah, he's been described as the offensive rebounding machine coming out of the NBA Academy, so let's see what he's got in the tank. 17 years of age, and 5 points, and 45 seconds remaining in this second quarter, in this first half. The drive going through by Gonçalves. Long-range shot, doesn't fall, and ball kept in play there by Justice Jr. Does extremely well. Naturally gifted scorer. Just like this man here, Jones. Drives into the paint, gets the ball back out. It's not the ideal pass, is it? A little bit lost there, but they win the ball back. An opportunity. Surely it's going to be a bucket. There it is. The 2 points go. 42-39. And 17.8 seconds remaining. And a timeout that's been called.
Yeah, it is a big steal there from Bale Fayed.
Basketball Africa League here on the Voice of America. I'm Jackson Funganyi. Man, the Oilers are able to kind of, you know, bring it close. At some point, they led.
They took a one-point lead on a three-point shot.
Yeah.
But, yeah, tight game right now, 42-39 in favor of Petro de Luanda. Philip Luzi, what do you think of the Oilers? They're showing their grit in their fight.
Yeah, they're trying to stay in the game. As long as we're in the game, keep it like a small lead below 5 points, I think we can take it in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. The Oilers able to make that adjustment after that initial shellacking, or as some call it,
shell shocking.
They were down by 8 or 10 points at some point. But, you know, they're putting on a good fight. It's a great game today, actually.
Yeah, I think it's one, maybe, what is it, the third game of the Nile Conference, but very entertaining.
Competition. Mm-hmm. You know, all these seasoned players, Majak, Sulaiman Diabate,
Carlos Moraes.
And we have some new entrants, also debutants in the making their debuts of the Basketball Africa League, the Uganda City Oilers, American James Justice Jr. Yes.
And yeah, he's off to a very good start with the Oilers. But let's go back to the Cairo for the close of the first half.
Two or three more games in this Nile Conference.
I didn't realize you had so much fighting talk there, Asha. Pretty remarkable. Last couple of seconds, last shots. The shot doesn't fall, and that's the end of the half. And we'll catch up with Q on the other side of the half. Don't worry about it. We haven't forgotten about you, Q. But here in Cairo, here in this Nile Conference battle between Petro Luanda and City Oilers, it's the Angolans who lead the Ugandan Giants by three. We're going to take a break. Second half coming up very soon. Segments coming up very soon, too.
It's halftime in Cairo, Basketball Africa League, right here on the Voice of America special coverage. Beautiful game, lots of highlight moments. 42-39, Petro de Luanda leading Uganda City Oilers. The Oilers, again, able to make those adjustments after that initial slow start. We have Philip Luzi here in studio. Philip is a former player with the Uganda City Oilers.
And I think we know who Philip wants to win the season, right?
It's no secret. It's
definitely, no secret.
So it will depend on how he left the team.
Well, yeah. Well, Philip, which players on the Oilers have stood out for you in the first half?
I think Bale Fayed, as I was saying earlier, it's his first time to come on this big stage. Just to see him look so confident, like he's always done this before, is quite amazing. He's had a few steals, he's made some layups, so I'm pretty happy as well. There's Jimmy Enabo as well has made a three-pointer, so the boys are doing well.
And speaking of steals, Sonny, Petro de Luanda was able to steal or make acquisition of some of the best players in the Basketball Africa League, guys like Majok. Majok was the 58th overall pick in the 2011 NBA draft for the Lakers. And he's not a new guy.
No, he's not.
Basketball Africa League. He played for U.S. Monastir.
Yeah, he played for the title team last year, based in Tunisia, U.S. Monastir. And he did some nice things in the first half, but he ended up with 2 points. For Petro, we'll see what he does.
Right,
but he's definitely a defensive
presence. Absolutely. Whether he makes the points or not, Majok always has something. He is a playmaker. Also defensively, you cannot pass him easily. And we'll see him in the second half come back and do some amazing stuff like we've seen him in the past. We also have Childe Dandawo, Abu Gaku, Sliman Diabate, another acquisition, another steal for Petro de Luanda there. Sliman Diabate, also not a new guy in the BAL.
Yeah, Diabate also played for a title team, I believe.
Yes,
and
absolutely. Was it Zamalek?
Yeah, I played for Zamalek.
Zamalek.
Last year he played for Monastir, yeah. Another title team. So if Petro was to go on and win the trophy, three titles in 3 years.
Philip, it's halftime, 42-39. What do you want to see from your guys? They're your guys.
Yeah, definitely I want the City Oilers to tighten the screws a bit and stop the turnovers. And those three-pointers need to be closed up on. So once they do that, I believe they'll be able to stay in the game and maybe make a few passes and a few layups and threes and take control over the game.
City Oilers making their debut in Cairo, Basketball Africa League, right here on the Voice of America. Nikki, you got anything for us over there? Action packed right here on the Voice of America with my guy Sunny Yang. Again, I want to encourage all our listeners who have not had a chance to check out Nothing But Net podcast, Sunny and Mokbel. Versus Petro de Luanda, bringing the action, the Nile Conference in Cairo.
I'm here with Sonny Young and our resident, I guess, new analyst making his debut, Philip Muzi, the former player for the City Oilers in Uganda, addressing us today here in studio, the glittering Studio 3E, like Sonny likes to call it. But, again, Sonny, we saw City Oilers struggle in the beginning. What do you think they were able to do? Some of the conversations they might have had with their coaches going into these breaks.
Well, I got to give a shout out for Justice, their American guard. He was their high scorer in the first half with 13 points, including some big three-pointers. And Philip, what did you think of Justice's performance?
Yeah, Justice is making some good shots, good shot selections. He's keeping us in the game. He's being very aggressive. If the ball goes through him and we can make a few more plays for him, I think he should be able to get even more points than he's scoring right now.
Philip, under the format of the BAL, each team is allowed to have, I think it's four players, foreigners from outside where the country's based. So in the case of the City Oilers, Justice is one of those four players. Do you like that concept, or would you rather see maybe two foreigners on each BAL team?
That's a tough one for me. For a guy who played, usually when the new guys come in, they usually take your spots. But on the
there's beef there.
Yeah, but on the international stage, sometimes these teams are really tough. So you need to beef up your team. So
right. If
you're really going to make a name for yourselves on this level, you have to bring in a bit of talent. So before, the City Oilers didn't do it as much, and they were not able to qualify. But when we bring in this talent, it even helps our local players to work harder, because the competition is tough, so it takes a level of basketball to a whole different level. So I think it's a good thing for the game and for our Ugandan basketball as well. It shows us that you can move your game to a whole different level. So yeah, I think
again,
it's a very good thing.
Right, and really, if you're going after against a team like Petro de Luanda that has guys like Majok, who was the 58th overall pick for the 2011 NBA draft, guys like Carlos Moraes, who was the MVP for the 2012 FIBA Africa Champions, you gotta acquire some talent to kind of match up that pedigree of players.
Definitely, yeah.
Voice of America, special coverage of the Men's Basketball Africa League. I'm joined here in the glittering Studio 3 with Action Jackson Vunganyi and Philip Luzi. Philip, educate me about the name of the City Oilers. Is that an oil company in Uganda?
City Oil is actually a petrol. It's an oil company, as you mentioned.
Oil company.
Yeah. And it has a bunch of other companies under it. So it went ahead to sponsor a group of guys who wanted to play basketball together. And more of guys who had kind of retired and wanted to kind of stay competitive. So once the team came together under the brand, they won the first third division championship. And then from there, the competition just kept going and they brought in new players, and the rest is history.
And they've been dominating for
the last eight years, definitely.
Yeah, Philip, I grew up in Uganda like yourself. You know, when I was growing up many years ago, you're much younger than myself, but we didn't have many basketball courts in Kampala. I remember the only basketball court, I was telling this Sonny yesterday, was at the YMCA. It had portholes in it.
Yeah, still does.
I'm hoping that they actually did some renovation to it. But what can you tell us about the sports infrastructure in the country right now, especially in regards to basketball?
Well, from your time, it has greatly improved. Not greatly improved,
right.
But
it's getting better.
Yeah, it's getting better. You have basketball courts in many schools. Especially there's organizations that are building basketball courts out of the capital city in rural areas, in these schools that are out far and still
right.
Enjoy the game.
The sport used to be an urban sport.
Yes, it was such an urban sport, but now you have kids from, like, you've been to Gulu in northern Uganda, in eastern Uganda and western Uganda. All these schools have actual good basketball courts, and you have talent that comes out of there. So that's a massive improvement. We have an indoor court as well. We have different infrastructure that's coming up. So it's gotten much better, I must say.
What does the local league look like?
The local league is good. It can do a bit of improvement, but the overall, as I told you, because of the level that City Oil has gotten to and the standard they've set, has forced other teams to reach that kind of level of organization and management. So an overall improvement in the league, but the talent as well, the young kids are improving as well. So there's more talent, there's more teams that are coming up. So, yeah, Ugandan basketball has a great future.
And what makes the City Oilers such a dominant team? I mean, they've been winning and winning and winning. What is their magic? What's the secret? Is it just resources?
Well, I would say resources, obviously. Naturally, is always the first thing that people would go to. But I think the thing that people don't pay attention to is organization and management of players, and from top to bottom, really. If you organize these kids and direct them, not only in the basketball court, but also in life, they are able to stay structured and stay in an organized environment and be able to perform on a high level. Other teams usually struggle with that. They have kids who go and just show up for games and they don't really help them, you know. So City Oil has set such a high standard that people are learning from them. They're setting the blueprint, so everyone is coming to look at City Oil. How do you guys do it? How do you take care of these kids? How do you manage them? Do you give them accommodation? Do you give them allowances? You know, it doesn't have to be money at the end of the day. You have to show that you actually care for these guys away from the basketball court. So that's the standard you've set for other teams.
That's a good point, Philip. Another one of Jackson's friends, Brian Karunji, he mentioned that, you know, they can't always offer money to some of these young kids. And so they find ways like maybe a scholarship or maybe a job with a local company
as a way for the
kid or child to stay with the team.
Yeah. I think that's important because when I came out of high school, all the team used to do was give you money to travel back home and maybe give you an extra amount on game day. That's as far as it went.
Little stipend.
Yeah, just there. Something small. So you realize these guys are not incentivized to really even stay in the game, and they end up, if they've not been studying well, they probably won't even get a job. So they'll play for a short time and just end up doing different things. So some of these programs, for example, City Oil's program and also UCU is a university that offers scholarships to kids with talent, so they get an education as well, and they provide them with jobs. So it's so crucial for these guys. Yeah.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to a special VOA broadcast covering the third season of the Men's Basketball Africa League. I'm joined here in Studio 3 with Philip Luzzi, former City Oilers basketball player, and Action Jackson Vunganyi. Philip, looking back on your career with the Oilers, what was
short career?
what was one of the highlights for you? If you had to like rate a moment or a special time with the Oilers?
Well, winning the first champ, I think being part of the team that won the original first championship with Oilers is pretty special because you feel like you are part of the foundation of the team.
And
to see where the team has reached right now is really amazing because they've kept the same consistency from the beginning, the same requirements and the same expectations of every single player. So for me, just being part of that process from the start is something really amazing.
Based on what you've seen so far in the BAL, Philip, have you seen improvement in the level of skill from season to season in the Basketball Africa League?
Yeah, definitely. Before, it was so lopsided. There were probably two or three very good teams that were standing out. But now the level of talent has massively improved. We're also getting players from outside the continent as well to come and participate in the BAL. So I think it has made a drastic improvement.
Yeah. Have you seen acquisition of talent from neighboring countries coming into Uganda?
Yeah, we get talent from Rwanda, we get talent from Kenya as well, we get talent from Congo as well to play in some of these teams. And again, back to what I was telling you about City Oil, they see this level of organization and they're attracted to it. So that helps to bring in talent from outside and improve the local league as well and beef up the other teams, so it improves competition within the local league, yeah.
How much has the government, I guess the state, helped in developing the sport? Is there, do you see a willingness or, a much better attitude towards embracing the game and injecting or investing some money in it?
Yeah, well, in Africa, we've always struggled with funding for sports, but with BAL having City Oil on the international scene, also, it exports our brand as a country as well. So when you look at it in that lens, it means there's going to you can bargain for more money, for more funding. Your leverage is even higher. So we've managed to see some more funding for the basketball team. But we still see challenges because we have so many sports that we're trying to promote on a limited budget. But it's much better for them right now.
Getting back to an earlier question, Philip, I asked you about the BAL, maybe in terms of the foreign influence on the teams. A player, for instance, like Justice, an American, would you rather see maybe a young Ugandan player in that spot rather than, you know, somebody that comes in right before the tournament starts signed to a short-term contract?
Yeah, definitely. I'd always want a Ugandan.
In terms of development, I guess I'm talking about.
Yeah, well, that's always been the challenge with these teams because these teams have been with a part of the structure for a long time, and when you come to this stage, you want them to get the experience and the opportunity to perform on this level. So I'll always root for a Ugandan player, but sometimes you have to pay your dues because he's probably extremely talented, so you can learn from him as well. You always have to keep a good attitude. Your turn is going to come. So the more you practice with these guys and the more you stay around them, you learn a lot. So it's still a positive thing for them.
Philip Luzzi, Action Jackson Vunganyi. Let's go back to the action in Cairo.
Playing a good game so far. 3 points behind Usher. Where's this going to go in the third quarter?
We know that in basketball games, the third quarter is very, very key in determining the result. And the City Oilers know that they have a huge mountain to climb against Petro de Luanda. They are the underdogs, the City Oilers. They know it. But at this point, they don't care.
They don't care. It doesn't matter. You play the game. Igor Barnaba scoring, picking up his third foul as the battle to try and regain possession continues. Shot clock down to 10. There's a long-range shot that's coming in from Moraes, but it doesn't go. Picked up by Justice Junior. Nicely done. Oh, that is beautiful. And he draws the foul. That is a big, big score and a big statement. And now they got the chance to either, you know, potentially go level. Look at this. He's exceptional. He's unstoppable. And he draws the foul because he's a tricky, tricky component in this machine.
Yeah, he adds great class to this City Oilers side. He's able to drive into that paint, pull some crowds there, get the bucket, and it is a three-point play for the Ugandan champions.
Someone who knew all about three-point shooting. He knows that I'm going to come across to him. Look at this before this score. There's a big collision there. And Jones crashing into Gerson Gonsalves. We'll go to the... They'll pick up possession, and it's another foul that's been committed. Jones picks it up. That's number two for him. It's Q. Hello, Q.
Hi, Robbie.
What have you got?
Just in the importance of the third quarter that Usher was talking about. City Oilers picking up and able to claw back 3 points or 4 points in that second quarter. They'll want to build on that momentum and see if they can't push the favorites in this game, Pedro de Luanda, and they're going to do that through their guard play. I think look at Jones and Justice Jr. to push the tempo in this second half.
You know, there's Jones went storming through there. Gaku got in the middle and he drew the foul once again. You know, they're not afraid of going on the rampage through the paint. Just look at this from Jones. If it's not Justice Jr., it's Jones. And they really are picking their moments to go on a bit of a darting run. And another foul's been picked up, this time for Gaku. Free throw line, chance for Jones to nudge the Oilers ahead again.
Yeah, looking at the way the City Oilers are playing, it's typical Mandy Giruni style to have at least every player touch that ball before they can attempt at the basket. And looking at Jones on that free throw line, he knows there's a lot at stake. He has a chance to extend that lead for the City Oilers, and he does the job. He'll be happy with his execution there.
Yeah, he's into double figures now as well. 11 points as Dundau gets rid of his man. Gets the ball back out. Gaku, Dundau. Dundau out wide. Picked up there by Gonsalves. Clock shot running down. Gaku goes for a big three-pointer. Oh, it's a beautiful bucket there from Gaku.
It is the first three-pointer in this second half of the game. It is a perfect way to remind everyone what he can do, that man, Gaku.
Big long-range shot coming in from Justice Jr. Just comes off the rim. Dundau really closely covering the man and preventing him from getting a clean shot on. They get 1 point. They claw themselves back 1 point ahead. Oh, look at that. That's massive there from Johnny Pedro.
It is an easy one in the paint from Juan Pedro, one of five players that have played in every season of the BAL for Petro de Luanda. And the other three are on court, apart from Gaku.
So replay there, beautiful. Long-range shot and a chance for Odeke. Odeke is missing its range. And Pedro, Johnny Pedro, picks up the long pass. And the fast break doesn't end in points immediately, but Moraes has his hands on the ball. It's a shot clock down to six, under a little bit of pressure to get the shot in. Moraes tries to spin. It's not a bad shot, but it's not been taken. An opportunity, Jones. Oh, Dundau goes down. And is that a... It's a defensive foul. And Jones will go to the free throw line. Dundau picks up the foul.
As Jones goes to the line, he'll be very disappointed that he was unable to finish that easy two there. And looking at the replay, he had some space there and intention, but unfortunately that foul just literally deterred the direction of the ball. So now he'll have a chance to go to the free throw line. 14 fouls for the Angolan champions with 7 minutes to play, Robbie, in this third quarter.
Yeah, no, it's very tight. And a second foul going against Dundau. He smiled. There wasn't much in that, to be honest with you. You know, he just laid down his feet in that position, but at the same time, there was a little bit of movement. And when you ever see a little bit of that elbow grease, you know, and the shifting feet, you know that it's going to be complicated. We've got a change that's just taking place here, as you can see. So, Titus Odeke just going to the bench as Jones nails that shot. It's a two-point game. Dundau picks it up. And James Okello coming back on, the veteran. Dundau gets the ball out. Moraes, Gonsalves. Gonsalves with a big shot. And the big bucket doesn't go down. Gaku with the rebound. Moraes goes up again off the metal. And on this occasion, they get possession. There's a foul going against Petro de Luanda.
Looking at... that particular moment, you just get the feeling that there's a lot of contact going on in that paint. It's very much expected.
It's the right arm there. You can see on Pedro from Barnabas. Sorry, Usher. Gaku. Moraes. Oh, Okello just bumping into Moraes. And that will be another foul this time. It will be the... second for Okello. Got to be careful with the discipline.
It is a very tightly contested game so far. They know, the City Oilers, they have to ask the questions of Petro de Luanda and stay within
shooting range. Oh, beautiful layup. Johnny Pedro, when he goes down a little bit of a dance into the paint, you know that he's exceptional, so strong and so decisive. Yeah, Jones takes it up court. Oh! Bombastic long range from the suburbs. And Philando Jones does the business with a three-pointer. And look, we're all square once again.
You talk about bombastic. Yes, he is fantastic indeed, Jones.
And the defensive rebound, fantastic as well on that occasion as they go up. That's really nicely done. All the soft touch and the attempt to try and get... Again, the rebound just doesn't happen. It's unfortunate there for Robot Jr. at the other end. Gaku waits for a bit of support. It has it with Pedro, Gonsalves, Gundao. And there's a player down. Is that offensive foul by Gaku? Just knocking down James Okello.
It is actually on Johns. He was unable to use that best line to play defense. As we see the replay of his three-pointer earlier on, Johns has been incredible for the City Oilers. Dropping 16 points so far in this game, tied with Justice Jr. and the two of them highest scorers so far in this game.
Dundau hits his first free throw shot. Jose Neto trying to work out what's going on. Majok comes back on as Johnny Pedro heads to the bench. Q, I know that you're listening in and you're seeing some things. This is a fantastic performance from the City Oilers. They really are putting up a wonderful fight. How do they keep this level going? And tell me about the discipline here.
Well, it's really interesting. They have got two dynamic scorers in Jones and alongside Justice Jr. But I think the matchup that Jose Neto is going to be looking at is who he uses for coverage. I think Dundao on Justice Jr. is an interesting matchup, but I'm not sure who he uses on the other side of the bench to try and cover Jones because of their ability to score the ball in ISO situations. They are tough covers, and that is what gives City Oilers a little bit of an edge and gives them all of that offensive power.
Majok with a pair of free throw shots, and they take a three-point lead and move ahead once again. I'm just trying to see if Majok's heels actually came off the ground when he was shooting from the free throw line. He's such a big chap, isn't he? Brilliant stuff. Jones goes for another big shot this time. The metal gets in the way. Gundao, good chance for Pedro. Gonsalves, right across to Gaku. Gaku's three-pointer doesn't fall. Moraes, his does, beautifully done. That was sublime, wasn't it? Very smooth shot there. And it's time for it. It's a timeout, I think, from logically from that man, Manzi Giruni, the coach of the City Oilers.
Voice of America, special coverage of the Basketball Africa League, Nile Conference action in Cairo, Egypt. Right now we have about 5 minutes left in the third quarter. Petro de Luanda leading City Oilers of Uganda by 5 points, 54-49. I'm joined here in studio by Philip Luzzi, former City Oilers player. Philip, I've been impressed with this debut appearance by the Oilers in the BAL.
Yeah, they're playing pretty well. They're still in the game, but just a few minor errors here and there. But they're still in the game as long as they pick up their rebounds. They're a bit loose on the rebounds, but once they get those in check, they should be good for the fourth quarter.
Backcourt for the Oilers has been big. I'm checking the stats now. Justice with 16 points. Philando Jones, more of a forward, I think. He has 16 for the Oilers. So there are two American imports performing well.
Yeah, doing a pretty good job. Philando Jones has made some vital three-pointers off the dribble, so he's helping us stay in the game. I think the local talent as well hasn't done too much, but... hopefully they'll pick it up in the fourth quarter.
Do you see that as a key period? I mean, is that where the Oilers tend to play their best basketball?
Yeah, Oilers play their best basketball in the fourth quarter. They have a lot of experience, championship experience, so they're not fazed by the big stage. They should be able to pick it up when it matters the most.
Philip, heading into this contest, did you see the Oilers playing as well as they have? I mean, I think they've played very well.
Yeah, I think they've played very well. For debutants, I think they're looking pretty good because their opponents have been in this position for a very long time. So it's good to see them step up to the plate.
Right now, you're listening to special VOA coverage of the Men's Basketball Africa League. We're in the third quarter. Petro de Luanda, a BAL finalist, leads City Oilers of Uganda by 5 points. Let's go back to the action in Cairo.
and it's getting quite interesting.
Yeah, you talk about Tasso, and we see that Solo Diabate is back on court and is being asked to perform defensive duties on Justice Junior.
And here he is, Justice Junior. Oh, he gets a good pass, that is. Gets the ball. Oh, my word, the block. Getting it out of there is Magioc. Picked up by Diabate, slowing things down. Let's be composed out here.
Yeah, Magioc reminding everyone that access can be denied in the paint in his presence.
And then he just blows it by giving away, giving the ball back with a foul there at the other end. And he got a little bit frustrated there. 54-49. Q, things happening on the side. Did you pick up on anything with the coaches?
Coach Amanda Giruni emphasizing ball movement. He wants to see more movement on the offensive end, less iso ball. He says they're better when they move the ball and need more aggression on the offensive end.
More aggression on the offensive ends, yeah. Gaku Moraes. And you know, you got it. You can't blink when you're playing against Petro. You know, otherwise they just steamroll you, don't they? They got this such a well-oiled outfit. Oh, that's a beautiful dunk, isn't it? Justice Junior up to 18.
Justice Junior able to punish Petro de Luanda on that fast break and just really maintain that offensive play that he's been up to right from the first quarter.
Oh, Gaku. Gaku out of nowhere. That's beautiful. He's up to 16 points. The pass from Magioc, he saw him out there wide. He knew he was under pressure there, under the basket.
Yeah, Gaku shot his first three in this third quarter on the left and now on the right. He can literally score from anywhere, Gaku.
That's a fine score by Odeke. He got rid of two defenders just like that. And that's a good interception as well.
Yes, good hands from Roback Jr.
And Jones with a big shot. He was under a little bit of pressure. And they will lose possession on that occasion. 2:52, it's a four-point game. And fast and furious end-to-end stuff there, Russia.
Yeah, absolutely. As we see Tony Drileba coming onto the floor to replace Jones, who's had an incredible game so far. Tony Drileba has been with the City Oilers, he's won league titles, and just really good to see him here at the BAL eventually.
And Drileba commits his first foul, just getting a little bit too close to Gerson Gonsalves. And he'll go to the free throw line.
Yeah, that was definitely a foul. He was literally trying to get the ball from behind Gonsalves, who now goes to the free throw line, commonly known as Luke Kenny. His father also played the game of basketball in Angola, and he's now continuing that legacy here at the BAL.
I remember watching him in Brazzaville at the Africa Games in 2015 when he won the silver medal.
Absolutely, he's grown in leaps and bounds. He's now a key player for Petro de Luanda, for Angola, and he's just showing that quality here in Cairo.
Justice Junior. Well, they really are putting a lot of pressure on him. And you can see that Coach Neto has said, right, okay, if they can't get the ball to their players, then we're going to deal with the situation, diffuse it. Let's surround and make sure that he can't distribute. And that's exactly what they're doing. And look, it's working quite well. 6-point lead. And Drileba trying to get the ball to Justice Junior. If he does get the ball out, then they've got an issue. But the pass to Odeke doesn't find its way from Okello. Trying to understand what's going on. It's a little bit... It's a very smart bit of coaching. This is from Neto.
Yeah, it was really ambitious from James Okello to try get that ball to Odeke. Roback Jr. was literally next to him. But they still have a chance with the possession.
That's nicely done, Odeke, with an offensive rebound. Just as they tried to suffocate the City Oilers, they hit back. It's a four-point game. Gaku. Carlos Moraes. trying to go around the outside. Roebuck Jr. getting in his way. And is that an offensive? No, it's a defensive foul. Roebuck Jr. picking up his first foul of the night. Just getting in the way and just not allowing him to drive through. Moraes using that experience.
Yeah, just looking at the replay there. Good matchup there between Roebuck Jr. and Carlos Moraes, a veteran of Angolan basketball. Had a short stint in Portugal, but he's largely played his basketball in Angola. Face of sports, actually, in general, not just basketball in Angola. His face is always on billboards across Luanda. But he's down to the business here at the BAL.
I think four Afrobasket gold medals basically, you know, sums up what he achieved. What an incredible servant for Angolan basketball. You know, the most successful nation in Africa on the national scene.
Yeah, absolutely. Former MVP on the continent with the national team. You can see that on his face. But just really talking to him yesterday before this game, saying they want to take it one game at a time. They know it's not going to be easy, but they're up for the task, Petro de Luanda.
Diabate giving Justice Junior a hard time. It's exactly what Neto wants him to do. And look, he's being rattled. Oh, he's doing so well. Look at that. Oh, that is a big foul. I mean, a big foul. Majuk and Hollis just getting in the way and just kind of like sandwiching him as he went down.
Yes, when you look at the defense that Petro de Luanda are playing, they're literally playing man-to-man, opening up that paint, and that gives Justice Junior an opportunity to take his man to the paint, and obviously, when there's help, there will definitely be a foul.
19 points for Justice Junior, 34 years of age, former Monastir player back in 2012. And he played for Club African, another Tunisian team, Moncton Magic. And then there's all Egypt, Qatar, Al Gharafa, lots of different teams. Bit of a journeyman. Great career indeed.
Yes, great career indeed. He's bringing that experience to the City Oilers.
And look what Majok brings to Petro Luanda. That's typical Majok-esque basketball, isn't it? He
absolutely
really does. He wrestles. He's such a physical unit. Big guy. Will take the ball into the paint. He'll bide his time. He'll turn. He'll twist. He'll still keep hold of the ball, draw the foul, and get the basket as well. He's the full deal.
It is four personal fouls for Gedi, son of Mohamed Santour, who's the founder of this City Oilers side. He's gotten his chance on the floor. He has, of course, so much work to do in that paint against Majok, against Hollis. But that is what he expected, of course.
Stolen the ball back. The Ivorian, Solo Diabate. 57 seconds remaining in this third quarter. It goes up to Majok. Of course, he's going to pass the ball out to Hollis. Hollis Diabate and Moraes. Magic from Moraes. 3 points, a beautiful score. 66-57. They're stretching their lead now.
Beautiful finish there from Moraes. Quality from the veteran player for Petro de Luanda.
Jones is back on, trying to find his score. So that's an opportunity there by Hedy. Diabate out wide. Doesn't fall for Boyamba. And at the other end, that's a good score. Very important score as well. See how important it is when you see that man, Roebuck Jr., go for the shot. Doesn't fall. 66-59. And at the end of the third quarter, we got a 7-point gap. Petro de Luanda inching themselves.
Voice of America special coverage of the Men's Basketball Africa League. I'm VOA Sonny Young, joined by Action Jackson Vunganyi and former City Oilers basketball player Philip Luzi. Right now, Petro de Luanda leads City Oilers of Uganda by 7 points. The score 66-59 in Cairo, Egypt. Philip, looking at the arena there in Cairo, would you like to see a few more fans in the stands?
New lovers of basketball in Africa, so hopefully in the next few games we can get more people in the stadium.
Yeah, I would think the BAL organizers, I've heard of like papering a stadium, giving out free tickets. Why not?
Yeah, definitely. If you give out a few tickets and got a few buses for people to come to your stadium,
right,
you'd fill up the stadium.
Imagine the energy from a filled up stadium like that, especially for so many young people who love this game.
Yes.
Probably can't afford the tickets.
Definitely, yes.
Give them, guys, this is what this game is about. This is what BAL is about. It's trying to encourage to grow this sport, you know. And to have such a stadium, big stadium with only a few people here and there, you know very well if you open those doors, all the people outside would want to come and watch.
Yeah. And Philip, Jackson had a great word last time, optics. It's about optics.
It's about optics.
It doesn't look good to have empty seats.
It does not at all. It doesn't look nice at all. Yeah.
But Sonny, this has been a great game.
It has been.
We are about to start the fourth quarter. Is it about to start the fourth quarter?
Yeah, we've had three quarters.
Three great, solid quarters, you know, great competition. Mm-hmm. I thought that the City Oilers were going to be way behind. But, you know, it's what, seven point difference right now.
And right now, the main player for the Oilers in terms of scoring has been James Justice Jr., shooting guard. He has 20 points for the Oilers. Philando Jones, he has 16. Taking a look at the scoring chart for Petro, Childe Dundao has 11 points. Carlos Moraes, their veteran guard, with 9 points. Johnny Pedro with 8. And so they're getting balanced scoring. Your thoughts, Philip, as we head into this fourth quarter?
Yeah, basketball games are won in the fourth quarter, so be sure to see the Oilers come back.
All right. Let's go back.
I love that.
Let's go back to Cairo and the action.
Very tightly contested fixture. Of course, it is 7 points ahead for the Angolan champions. But so much basketball to play for, Robbie, as we start this fourth quarter.
Robock Jr. and a chance to try and get those points. You got to make sure that the possession turns into points right from the start. Kelo missing that 2-pointer there. Moraes. Hollis picks it up. Mid-range out into the corner. Oh, that was nearly in. And finally, Majok. And disappointment there. But the foul was committed.
There's so many hands. City Oilers' hands in that paint. But they just really need to get to a point where they contest better without picking those fouls. They finished the third quarter with a lot of foul trouble. And Odeke will have to ask himself some questions there. There's so much basketball to be played in the remaining minutes.
Klofati Boyama is the player here, the 24-year-old from Luanda, who's managed to add some extra points at the start of this fourth quarter. We get the chance to go across to Q because they must be a little bit disgruntled, the Oilers, having fallen behind by a few points going into that final fourth quarter.
They're a little disgruntled, but they will continue to play, and they have to figure out ways to break down this trap defense that Coach Jose Neto has thrown at them. Justice Jr. is holding on to the ball quite a bit, looking for his individual offense, just showcased in that. If they figure out how to do that, they'll have a chance down the stretch in this one.
Thanks, Q. Diabate to Hollis. Hollis, the buckets are starting to rain down here in Cairo. 71-59, that's the biggest lead that this Angolan team has had tonight. A 12-point advantage here as we see the five on the floor here. Robert Jr., Odeke, Jones, Okello, Justice Jr. There he is. Jones gets himself the point, so he's back on court. They need him, but he took a little bit of a break. He's up to 18 points.
It is the business end of the game
so far, and Petro de Luanda Northern don't want to give the City Oilers any hope.
You know what? Moraes has been really, really clinical tonight. He's just knocked in his 11th point. But, you know, just working and being so pivotal. Look at Diabate. And that would have been a sensational bucket if he had have dropped that in. But the way he got rid of the Ivorian, exceptional from Justice Junior.
Yeah, it is two back-to-back failed attempts behind the three-point line for Justice Junior. He doesn't have so much help in the paint to pick the rebounds and give themselves another chance, but Petro de Luanda will punish them on the other side of the court.
And another fast break opportunity here. They go again. That's a floater over the chart. Nicely done. And a sensational score. Very important score coming from Roebuck Junior. Solo Diabate. Here's Hollis. Hollis goes for a big shot. That is massive. Massive from Hollis, who hits double figures at 11 now.
Incredible from Hollis. He's starting to come alive now. And that just shows you the depth that this Petro de Luanda side have. They keep working.
Odeke! Oh! Massive three-pointer there for Odeke as well. Sensational. And we're back to 10 points. It's just, it's a crazy game when everybody wants to just, you know, turn it on, they turn it on. The heat is hitting Cairo here in a big way. The Nile Conference is starting to warm up, and we haven't even got past the first games. Diabate puts the two in, and that's his fourth point tonight.
Diabate has been doing a lot of the work off the score sheet. You will not see a lot of that, but the decision making and the quality that he adds on both sides of the court is really important.
Air traffic control by Majok.
It is access denied by that man, Atera Majok. He's really announced himself so far in this Nile Conference. He's done this before in the past two seasons of the BAL. And he's just saying, Robbie, in case you forgot, I'm here. I'm still here.
And we say the same about Q. In case we forgot, we know that he's still there. Q, this is electrifyingly good from Petro Luanda, but they're not stopping, are they? The Oilers are fighting hard.
Defense has been the calling card of Petro de Luanda, and they've really clamped down inside the paint and on the perimeter. And you see the effect of the 2022 Defensive Player of the Year, Atera Majok, inside the paint.
Absolutely sensational at both ends, you know. What a great attribute he is to Petro de Luanda. Solo Diabate, also star player. And he goes on a one-man mission through the paint. Gets stopped halfway, and he'll go to the free throw line. 5:59 remaining. And they got the chance to extend that lead once again to more than 12 points.
It is really a silly foul there from Titus Odeke. He could have done a lot better, but Solo Diabate will punish him on that free throw line. As the coaching staff of City Oilers continue to trust him to stay on the court.
Slick shooting from the free throw line for that man Diabate. Up to 6 points he goes. Jones. Oh, he's just been squashed, stalled, stopped. Hollis down to Majok. Looks to return the favour. It's Diabate who has it. Lots of time and space. Time, maybe not. Space, yes. Goes for a big one. Oh, my! Good gracious me! The smiling assassin from the Côte d'Ivoire. Diabate with three.
And you can see what it means to Petro de Luanda, being celebrated there by Juan Pedro. Solo Diabate, incredible player, two-time champion of the BAL, and just wearing that ear-to-ear smile.
He can wear it as much as he likes. He's, you know, just...
He's earned it.
He's a wonderful person as well. And he's the MVP from 2022 from the final, of course. And,
yes, sir.
Totally deserved. but playing like a 20-year-old. 35 years of age now.
Yes.
Long-range shot. Doesn't put the points on the scoreboard. Diabate dancing up court like a teenager. Goes to Majok. Oh, Vuyamba unable to do anything with that because he got stopped mid-flight.
It is three team fouls for the City Oilers and four personal fouls for Titus Odeke, who has contributed 10 points for the Ugandan champions. And you can see that Coach Mande Jiruni, frustrated, wants to make a couple of changes to bring back Barnaba and Jimmy Anabu.
We're going to bring back Q. He's got so many stats. He's just got so much detail to him. It's unbelievable. Q, tell the world what you want. No, that's risky.
Say whatever you want.
Give us a reaction from the side of the court. Sorry.
Well, when you look at where this game has been won or lost, it really was. The game's not over. There's still 5 minutes left. But City Oilers have got to figure out ways to try and break down what Coach Neto has thrown at them. He's gone big, and they are trapping in the corners, and they still haven't figured out how to break that down. Both Jones and Justice Jr., when they were on the court, have struggled. And so you see how important defense is, and they say defense wins championships.
Kello gets the ball out. Barnaba. Once again, nicely done. That's a wonderful piece of play, but only if it finishes off with a bucket, and it didn't. No buckets there, are there, Usher?
No buckets there, indeed, for the City Oilers. They'll have to turn this around. But first, they've got to play defense against the Angolans.
And the rebound safely made. And an opportunity. This is surely going to be a score. He just can't sink, can't get the points. And there he is once again. It's Jermaine Roebuck Jr. who can't score the points, but he will go to the free throw line.
Yeah, it's a missed opportunity for Roebuck Jr., who had a mismatch there against Gerson Dominguez. But he'll go to the free throw line to earn any available 2 points from that play.
We're going to have a break. We'll be back in a moment. 85-66, Petro Luanda lead.
Basketball Africa League special coverage on the Voice of America. We have 4 minutes and 11 seconds left to the end of the fourth quarter. 85 for Petro de Luanda, 66 for the City Oilers. Man, you know, at some point, the City Oilers looked like they were a competitive team that was, you know, they had narrowed it up to, at some point, up to 2 points. But now Petro de Luanda has pulled away. And like Philip said earlier, you know, basketball games are won in the fourth quarter. And yeah. City Oilers seems to be struggling in this fourth quarter.
Philip, I kind of think maybe the Oilers, like I heard you say, too many isolation plays rather than getting their teammates involved.
Yeah, focusing on mainly two players, getting all the points won't get you the win. It's a five-man game, so everyone has to be involved in every single play. So hopefully lessons are learned from this game. It's not done yet. There's still 4 minutes, but next game a few corrections will be able to be made.
I think the Oilers have done some nice things in this game, and hopefully this will build their confidence.
Definitely.
For game two.
Yes.
And like Philip said, if you're not scoring, at least defend, do something.
Yeah.
Participate. This is not a one-man game for those players who are more concerned about putting numbers on the board. Move the ball around, which is what Petro de Luanda is doing, and that's why they're ahead by such a big margin. 85-66. Let's go back to Cairo.
They got to find solutions. They got to find options to deal with this. And Q, we need to go straight across to you because I think that did you hear of any solutions? Because it's a tricky one now, isn't it?
Well, they've added some outside shooting, and Abu comes in just to give them an additional threat around the perimeter. And then there's some rebounding in the young Obi on the inside. And so
They're going to try and shoot their way out of this one, and they've got to. There's 4 minutes, 11 seconds left, and the perimeter might be their primary option on their way back.
Well, just looking at Robak Jr. there on the free throw line. And the reaction there from Coach Madejuruni just showing you how disappointed he is. But like you said, Robbie, there's so much work to do in this game so far. 4 minutes to play in this last quarter. And I'm telling you, it will take so much work for the City Oilers to come back.
Yeah, but they've got to play Al-Ali as well, you know, after tomorrow. So that's going to be a battle. Every battle, you know, is just as difficult. So it is what it is. Let's just understand just how complicated the BAL is, because the level of competition is getting bigger and better every season. The City Oilers are here. They're here for a reason. So we'll get the chance to see exactly, you know, what's going to happen, you know, as we go through the games.
Yeah, absolutely. You talk about the City Oilers. It is sort of like a baptism of fire. You start with Petro de Luanda, finalists from last season. And next game is the host, Al Ahli. Yes, they are debutants, but a very senior and experienced side.
Majok, Majok, Majok. But I think that there was a call before he actually went in there. So it's going to be going to the free throw line. Oh, there's Anas Mahmoud, of course. He won with Zamalek in the first season, winner of the BAL. Great to see him here, of course. Went to the Summer League as well and joined, didn't manage to win with Zamalek last season, of course, because it is US Monastir. But a BAL champion here amongst us, which is not too bad. And I'm sure they'd be happy to catch up with the likes of Madjok and Diabate, all of these guys who, of course, he knows very well.
Yes, indeed. It's good to see Anas Mahmoud and his teammate Omar as well. And just really amazing to see that Zamalek players can show face at the BAL in Season 3, where their biggest rivals, Al Ahli, are taking part. But we still take the gesture. Anas Mahmoud, he must feel like he really wants to be on that court. But for now, he's watching right here on courtside.
Long-range shot just comes off the metal. Majok can't make the rebound. Picks up. They've got to intensify. It's a 17-point game. There's 3:25. Jones has got to step it up now. And there he does with a wonderful step in, step up. Make it clear. Down it goes. Bring it on. Jones is the man.
It is a clear highway there for Jones to make that bucket. Very timely for the City Oilers. And every possession and basket matters, as we saw in the Sahara Conference last month.
Majok unable to drop the three in. Jones picks it up. These are such important plays, aren't they? And Jones with a little bit of time and space. There he goes up for a big shot. Oh, the shot just comes off the metal. He'd be a little bit annoyed with that because it would have made it a 13-point game. Diabate picks it up. Justice Jr. is not on court at the moment. So, of course, when he comes, things will be a little bit different. Foul on Majok from that man, Barnaba. And that means that that is his last play of the game. He'll be walking off in a moment or two.
Yeah, looking at that matchup. And really, Jones has been incredible for the City Oilers, just offensively, but also on defense. And just seeing Barnaba fouled out and heading to the bench. And in comes another man with four fouls, Geddy. But there's just 2 minutes, 32 seconds to play game.
You need a big, don't you? I mean, you need to hold four to the back as much as possible, despite the fact that you've got the likes of, you know, Majok, Hollis. You've got these big guys who are causing all sorts of problems. Even Mbeumo is really providing this Petro team with a little bit of extra zip. I think we should catch up with Q, because Q's got some inside knowledge and he's always listening in and finding out what's going on. Q, have you got anything for us?
Well, it's looking more and more likely that Petro are going to close out this one. It's a tough
final 2 minutes and 30 seconds, but we really have seen defense be prominent, especially here in the second half. I'm not sure that the City Oilers will be able to unlock this Petro defense in this final 2 minutes.
Thank you, Q. Thank you so much. Getty's effort doesn't... See a cheer from the bench as Gerson Dominguez gets some time on court as well. Acceleration and the attempt to try and sneak around past the baseline. Majok, a little bit disappointed there.
Talking about Majok, very crucial player for Petro de Luanda. He's been very excited at joining the Angolan champions after playing two seasons with a U.S. Monastir. But that matchup, obviously, against Getty, it's really interesting to see in these final minutes of the game. And in comes Saif Hendawi, BL Elevate player for Petro de Luanda.
Yeah, this is important as well, but giving away possession. And picked up and... another foul for Hollis on this occasion. He moves up to three, but 1:46 left on the clock. There you can see it's just moving his body in the wrong place. 87-70. Didn't expect it to stretch this far going into the fourth quarter, but there's a chance for Getty. His shot doesn't fall. Hollis picks it up and a chance for Chime from the NBA Academy to try and move forward. Domingos out to Bastos. Bastos! And picked up by Majok. But I think the foul... Yeah, it's a push by Majok, I believe.
Yes, it is his fourth personal foul. Tara Majok, who has scored 8 points so far for Petro de Luanda coming off the bench, but he's really grown in the game and he's been very crucial for them in this second half as we wait for Getty to attempt those free throws on the charity line.
I've just been so impressed by Coach Neto and how he's made adjustments throughout the game as Getty's first free throw hits its rightful destination, 87-71. He's been just intelligent in the way that he's actually orchestrated, how he's rallied the troops, the timeouts that he's made, how he's made those adjustments, the defensive game, which is what he talked about basically when I went and had a little chat with him before tip-off. He said, look, we're going to focus on our defense. We're going to make sure that at both ends of the court, we're going to have players who are going to be there to make sure we retrieve possession. You know, after that, we've got a game plan. You know, and we've got tactics that we can use. We can go through the inside, we can go outside, but we can adjust. And we've got a bench. You know, we've set it all up as we see Majok pick up his fifth personal foul, and that is the end of his encounter with 1:12 to go. Not really a massive problem, I don't think, here. More so, this is a problem for the Oilers. Jones down on the ground.
We take a look at the replay there. It looks like Majok's knee stuck out there and Jones is on the floor. He gets up now.
Yeah, I think he got the knee in the, you know, just in the on the back of the thigh. And, you know, when you've been on court for pretty much the entire game, you know, that's pretty painful. And he's going off gingerly. Hopefully he's going to be okay because he's going to be so important for the Oilers' battle to try and get themselves to Kigali.
Yes, it will indeed be very key for the City Oilers who want to qualify for the playoffs in Kigali. They have huge support there in Rwanda, the two countries, Uganda and Rwanda, being neighbors. But they have a lot of work cut out for them.
There is no doubt about that. Jimmy and Abu trying to find a way through. Gets the pass to Getty. Good movement. That's a nice pass and a little turn, a spin for the shot. doesn't get the right direction. Domingos, Domingos! That is lovely. That's a beautiful score. The layup, the drive. Done with so much panache. 89-71, 35 seconds to go. The pass on the basket doesn't happen. Picked up by Geddy.
Good hands there from Geddy to pick that ball and give themselves another chance at the possession.
Into the last 20 seconds. And Abu, long range shot coming in. Another chance. Inabu gets another long-range shot, but again, he can't have it seen. He's got to go for a shot. There's the final shot of this encounter. It doesn't go up onto the scoreboard. And here in Cairo, for this opening battle between Petro de Luanda, the runners-up in Season 2, semi-finalists in Season
Basketball
1.
Africa League special and coverage right here. And on the Voice of America, I'm Jackson Vunganyi with
Sonny Young. Great
guys,
to be here, Jackson.
We had a game, great game. City Oilers of Uganda making their debut in Cairo, coming up short against Petro de Luanda. 89-71, 89 for Petro de Luanda, 71 for City Oilers.
Jackson, I think Petro probably made some defensive adjustments in that fourth quarter. Going into the fourth, they were up by 7 points, and they pretty much took control in the fourth.
Absolutely. And we had a guest earlier, Philip Luzi, who played for the City Oilers, and he made a great point about how games are won in the fourth quarter, and it's very clear that City Oilers did not have a great fourth quarter. They did not make the right adjustments. They had started off slow, a little bit less confidence. Maybe was what you call it, a shell shock in the beginning. You know, playing on such a stage, such a platform against a very strong team like Petro de Luanda, with guys like Majog, Childe Dandawo, and others. And at some point, they had actually put up a good fight, narrowed the lead up to 2 points, even took a lead at some point.
Yeah.
You know, short-lived lead, but still, you know, that counts for something. It shows that they have something in them. This is not really a poor performance for a debuting team.
I think they'll make adjustments for game two, and I'm not ruling them out of finishing among the top four, Jackson, and making that trip to Kigali.
Absolutely, and Kigali, that's where the playoffs of the Basketball Africa League will be. Let's go back to Cairo.
Mais ça a été long à se mettre en place. Comment est-ce que vous expliquez ça?
Oui, c'est le premier match donc.
Yes, okay, it's in Portuguese. Aboubakar Gakou. Aboubakar Gakou right now is speaking. He had 16 points for Petro de Luanda. I think Aboubakar Gakou comes from Mali, if I'm not mistaken.
I love the international flavor.
Absolutely, absolutely. They also got to give it up to Petro de Luanda, the kind of acquisitions they made this time around. You know, getting guys like Majok, who played for U.S. Monastir of Tunisia last year, one of the best players in the Basketball Africa League, is now playing for Petro de Luanda. But again, Sonny, this what do you have on the statistics?
Well, Gakou, he was their high scorer for Petro with 16 points, but very balanced scoring, Jackson. I'm looking at the stats now. Childe Dundao with 11 points. Carlos Moraes, their veteran guard, also had 11 points. Goncalves with 9. Very balanced scoring.
And on the Ugandan side?
Let's flip it over to the Oilers. Unbalanced in terms of their two American imports. I guess they're imports. They're American imports. James Justice Jr. and Philando Jones. They combined for 42 of their 71 points.
And if you're going to win these games, you have to move the ball around. We need to see a much more balanced scoring sheet, just like we saw with Petro de Luanda. Put a couple of points for each one, you know, share the ball around. This is team sport. You know, if you're not scoring as a team, you're not winning matches.
And Jackson, I must point out that our guest on the show, Philip Luzzi, former City Oilers player, he was pointing out his brother, who was in Cairo.
Yes, his brother was in Cairo.
With a clipboard.
That was amazing. I loved it. If you're just joining us, we are coming to a close of the Basketball Africa League Day 2. We just covered the match between Petro de Luanda.
Cape Town Tigers. They were winners in the first game on Thursday. They defeated Seydou Legacy Athletic Club Slack of Guinea. And good showing for the Tigers and their guard, Zaire Wade.
Yes, the son of NBA Hall of Famer Dwayne Wade. We're coming to the close of the show on the game. And Sonny, this has been great.
Yeah, let me run down the scores. 75-68 in favor of the Cape Town Tigers. They defeated Slack. And in the second game on Thursday, Petro de Luanda defeated City Oilers from Uganda 89-71. Jackson, let's give a shout out for our producer this evening,
Nikki
Nicole Peters. Bob Bass.
Bob Bass is back with us.
Bob Bass back with us in Studio 3 working the boards. Yes.
Such a pleasure to work with you guys. Thank you so much, all of you, for joining us. I'm Jackson Bunganyi.
Sonny Young.
And we'll catch you next time. Peace.
call you mine on VOA 1. And she is Halsey. Before that, Pink Pantheress, Boys, A Liar, Part 2. I'm Larry London here on VOA 1. Adele made a guest appearance on The Late Late Show with James Corden, which is on CBS television. It was his last episode after several years of hosting, and she did a carpool karaoke segment where she was driving him around. This is Adele, Easy on Me on VOA 1.
Time is moving so slow. hits on VOA 1.
I'm stylish. Talk big t-shirt, Billy. Watch on my wrist, but I want that diamond. Talk crazy when I pull up in sight. Mile high, run that back, I'm stylish. Talk big t-shirt, Billy. Watch on my wrist, but I want that diamond. Talk crazy when I pull up in sight. Mile high, the first class on that pipe. Put it in perspective. I got everything I wanted and some extra. I am not the type of turning into a detective. Got two on my own phone, barely even check. Uber is the food I don't call, I just text. Guess I don't bail, my little got a vest. Next on my Lexus. So no besties, I checked it. No guesses, so don't text. Hey, two pistols, 30s in the clip, these are Kimbos. Open and smack him in his mouth, I'm Kimbo. You be throwing cash on the strip, my little boo sucking for the free. I got a boo, but a they got me. I know she chipped when I dip, so I free. They pillow talking about me like I'm sweet. But she ain't know this shit, three is in my teeth. I'm stylish. Talk big t-shirt, but I'm eilish. Prat the bit from the back on the island. Heard it talking crazy, but my man now is silent. Run that back, I'm stylish. Talk big t-shirt, Billy. Watch on my wrist, but I want that diamond. Talk crazy when I pull up in sight. Mile high, run that back, I'm stylish. Talk big t-shirt, Billy. Watch on my wrist, but I want that diamond. Talk crazy when I pull up in sight. Mile high, the first class, I'm the pilot.
Maybe let them.
Kendrick Lamar, he's got a couple of festivals to perform at this coming up summer. That is off the Wakanda album from Black Panther, All the Stars. I'm Larry London on VOA1, where you can always hear all the music stars. Jonas Brothers, Lizzo, all of them and more. And Nikki Strong is coming up in a couple of hours, so make sure you stick around for Nikki here on VOA1 with more of the hits. Sam Smith.
I'm
right here on VOA 1.
Gonna get paid out for the conversation that no one allows. His strong father ended a charming mother. Oh, that's why some nights we try to kill each other. But you know it's always love. We never knew how to fake it, but we always knew how to break it.
No. know you love to make an entrance. Do you like getting paid or getting paid attention? Like, you mix the wrong guys with the right intentions. In the same bed, but it still feel long distance. Yeah, yeah. You're looking for a little more consistency. But when you stop looking, you gon' find what's meant to be. And honestly, I'm way too done with them. I cut off all my X's for your X and O's. I feel my old flings was just preparing me. When I say I want you, say it back, parakeet. Fly your first class through the air, Airbnb. I'm the best you had, you just be comparing me to me. I'ma add this at you. If I put you on my phone and upload it, it'd get maximum views. I came through in the clutch, more than lipsticks and phones. Wore your fave cologne just to get you alone.